will conquer all. I've been hurt, but not deceived. Regardless to what has happened, I still believe. Still believe.
573-493-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on the 28th of December. I'll get that date right if I don't get anything else right for the rest of this year and next year. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock, and I hope you're having a wonderful day on this last Friday of 2012. We are headed promptly and quickly into 2013, and I don't know about you guys, know I'm on an embark of changing my life. The first three hours of the day, I want to change my life so that I will become more productive. I will become thinking about my spiritual life, my physical life, and my emotional life. And I say that because, we really need to understand, and when I talk about my weight loss, my weight gain, things going on, because today's my birthday. If you didn't know, it's my birthday, so I'm just going to rant and rave until some people start coming in, calling in, because you know it's open mic today. But it's time for transformation. And, in life, if you look at what's going on in the world today, you're going to have to become more cognizant of what's our surroundings and of ourselves and of our family. Because things are changing right in front of us. And it's going to be important that we look introspectively at ourselves so that we can focus and thrust into the future. No one's coming to save us. The world does not owe us anything, so if you want anything, you're going to have to go and get it. And I say that fervently because if you look at what's going on with the fiscal cliff, if you look at what's going on in our politics, if you look at what's going on in our communities, we're going to really have to be honest about our lives. We really, really are. And in America, right now, we are in a quandary, and we're going to have to become self-sufficient. We're going to have to become mindful of our finances, mindful of our health. Health care is going to change. And if you don't take care of your health now, when we get older, as we all are doing, unless you end up in the alternative, you're going to want to have a good quality of life when you get older. I really want that. I don't want to be diabetic. I don't want to have hypertension. I don't want to not be able to move. I don't want to be in a lot of pain. And so if I can do anything to alleviate that, I am going to do my best to try to do that. Also with our spiritual life, I want to become one with God. I want to seek Him first. I want to have a good relationship with Him. I want to have favor in the sight of God. And I want to be able to have the faith beyond what I see. And I say that because right now, you have to live by some type of faith. Because if you don't live by some type of faith, you're going to fall for a whole lot of stuff. And you need to have a supernatural insight because people are lying to us. And when I watch the news and getting people to understand, the news is reporting the theater of the political climate, but they're not actually reporting the facts of what's going on, nor are they reporting the truth of what's going on. And I have a problem if you can't see past what they're saying and look into the root of a thing and become what and see what you need to see so that you can make decisions based upon fact, not based upon theater. The fiscal cliff, even our education in our schools, the crime rates in our communities, our family dynamics, all those things play into the part of the political theater. And people are making money on us. Do we really understand that? People make money on us. People make money on our hurt and on our pain. And I'm bringing this to the forefront on this day because today's Friday. New Year's Eve is Monday. And New Year's Day is Tuesday. The fiscal cliff, the Obamacare taxes, they're getting ready to come in and slap everybody in the face. And it sounds good. I'm hoping that the Republicans and the Congress will allow President Obama to do whatever he needs to do that he thinks is right. And I hope that to be true. I need for them to sit down and say, you know, President, whatever you want. If you can fix whatever's going on, we're going to let you do it. No matter if we forecast the outcome, no matter if we know the outcome, I'm hoping that we will just sit down and just let them do what they want to do. I think it would be good for America for us to do that. Because sometimes you don't know fire burns unless you put your hand in the fire. And I think America today needs to go ahead and get burnt. They do. They just need to, they need to fall off the cliff. They need to get burnt so that they can find out fire burns. Where, you know, where we come from, where I come from, you know, they say some people don't believe that fat back ain't greasy. Well, I'm here to tell you it's greasy, and you sometimes you got to prove stuff to people. And I think America needs to have a little bit of proof. I do. Because they don't get it. They don't get it, they don't understand it, and they don't want to believe that they're going to have to stand up and go and get some work. They're going to have to work at some things. Yesterday they brought up the movie Django, the Django Unchained, and I am looking forward to having that discussion today. We'll talk about the fiscal cliff if that's what you guys want to talk about. I want to say, again, this is my last time being on this year. It's kind of funny. It's going to be my last time being on this year. Today is my beginning of 2013. Of my new year, and hopefully that we will have some great changes for our listening audience in the next year. We will become a better, more polished, and very, very succinct program that you'll be able to call in, voice your views, say what you want to say, go where you want to go in the show. It will be loose enough that you will always be able to get through and voice your view and fight with me and Jeff and Sticks and Mark, but one that we will have a lot of guests on from across the globe that will give us information so that we can think. It's time to think. Also, this upcoming year, I hope to expand on our reach so that you'll be able to catch us in more places in a better locale. Also, I want to say thank you to all of our listening audience, both on the internet as well as through Blog Talk, as well as here locally in the Mahoning Valley, for sticking with us this last year, being with us, helping us as we go along, and getting to our sponsors, going out to them, saying that you heard it on Tracy and Friends, saying that we sent you. We want to thank Charlie Staples. Charlie Staples has been with me from the beginning. He has some of the best barbecue that you can find in the valley. He is always personal. He's always got a cup of love for you when you go in. And we want to thank him and thank him for going back and being with us in 2013. He's open on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. He's got his barbecue sauce now in the grocery stores. And, again, I just want to say thank you to Charlie Staples and those people that work there for sticking and staying with us throughout this past year and as for the last 6.5 years. Also want to thank Turning Point Counseling. Turning Point Counseling is an adult mental health service. And as you see what's going on inside of our country, adult mental health is very, very, very important. And you need to reach out to adult mental health, and you need to introspectively look at yourself and say, you know what, maybe I, because sometimes we feel as though it can't happen to us, and that's not true. It can happen to us, and it can happen in our family, and we sometimes need to talk about our past, talk about our present, and talk about our future with someone who's going to be objective. And I would suggest Turning Point Counseling to everyone. Dr. Brandy and her staff there, Joe Sylvester and the staff there at Turning Point Counseling, they are some of the best in the nation. So please, if you know of anyone, if you want to talk about your own mental health, and it's, there shouldn't be a taboo with it. Again, theaters, television has made us believe that or think that it is something that it's not. Mental health is everybody. Everybody has issues. And if you say that you don't, you lie. And you need to deal with it. I want to thank Henry Nimmons and IGA, Save a Lot Foods. Henry does a lot for a lot of people. And IGA does Nimmons family, the Save a Lot family. You know, when you go to Henry and he's a local grocer, you don't have many of those yet anymore. You just don't have them. You've got your other stores out here, but you don't have the grocer actually living in the neighborhood with you, supporting you and being there for your churches, your organizations, with a cake or a pie from Nimmons. And so support him. You don't want to lose your local grocer. That's the last one I think we have. And there's one more, Sparkle, over on Market. But you don't want to lose them. You don't want to lose your Santeezy brands. You don't want to lose your local grocers. So please support Nimmons IGA. First Choice Coin and Jewelry. Those of you who are selling gold, buying jewelry, before you go to your commercial jewelry stores, you want to stop into First Choice. You'll find a beautiful selection of jewelry there. You can sell gold. Gold is trading somewhere around $1,500 to $1,600 an ounce. You can sell your silver there. You can buy silver coins and gold coins there. Tom and his staff over there are highly knowledgeable. They have a GIA specialist on staff there. She is a great person. She knows her diamonds. She knows her jewels and can help you there. Want to thank Curiosity Shop and the Blue Wolf for supporting us this year. I'm going to go through all these while I have some time. Stick and stay with me because I need to do this because it's because of them that we are here. Fit Family over in Austintown, Doris and John, they come on the second Thursday of every month. They've been with me for the last 3 or 4 years and want to thank them for helping me try to lose weight. But this year we're going to do it. Helping me try to stay fit, and then coming on and giving us of their expertise and of their time. Heartreach Ministries, they're no longer having the daycare there, but I want to thank them also. Kingley Auto, you cannot get your car washed any better than at Kingley. Kingley is located downtown Youngstown and located on Midlothian Boulevard and Market Street. If you want to clean your car, you want to have a Kingley clean car. They're bonded, they're licensed. They will pick your car up, take it in, buff it, do whatever you need to have done, and bring it back to your place of work or your home. I would recommend them. They don't steal anything in the cars. They do a good job inside and out. They work on your tires. They take care of your vehicle. And you want to have a car that looks nice because a clean car and a maintained car is a good investment. Ambassador Technologies. They are my technical people. They make sure that I sound good. They make sure that my computer stuff is up and that you hear us well on the Internet. And I want to thank them because they do a good job also. And they are located over on Belmont behind McDonald's. And so if you ever need to have any computer work done, you want to go see Ambassador Technologies and tell Gordon that we sent you. Bourbon Framehouse Gallery, got some prints for Christmas, gave them out. I got people that are very, very happy with my Christmas gifts this year. They do some great framing. They have some great prints. Derek will take care of you over there at Bourbon Framehouse Gallery. And when you walk in, tell them that Ted Tracy sent you. And I think that is, Dr. Hill, Associates of Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. Women's health, you have to have it. It's important. And Dr. Hill is a phenomenal OBGYN. He can take care of your feminine needs as well as your deliver your babies. So he is located on Fifth Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio, and want to thank him. He's been with me since the beginning also. And then last but not least, I want to thank Cumulus Radio and WSOM for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to set my program here between noon and 3, Monday through Friday, that you guys can listen in. It's been a partnership that we've had for the last almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years, I think, this upcoming April. And they have made my life great. And I want to thank Rick Parrish and Brad Marshall and the staff and the engineers here at Cumulus Radio in the Mahoning Valley, here at the Radio Center. And I love them so much. I appreciate them so much. And so even though if you may not be a talk radio person all the time, please visit our sister stations and let me know. You know, they're great. They really, really are. And I want to thank Cumulus Radio for allowing me to do that. So I've gotten that out. I'm going to take a break in a minute. I'm going to play all these commercials of the people that I talk to. But before I do that, I want to we're going to feature a business, at least one business a month. And it will be a new business in 2013. And I met a young man by the name of Tony. Met him at the Board of Elections. He was voting. And he has a tire shop. And it's located in the old Flint Tire building. And it's called Tony's Tire. And his name is Anthony
Boardman
Jones.
Boardman Frame House.
And I said I was going to wait. So you have to wait until I get done. It's located at, let me get this right, 655 Mahoning Avenue. He has competitive prices. It is a tire shop. And he's here in Youngstown. You can give them a call at 330-720-2177. Their hours are Tuesday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2. They're in town. They're on Mahoning Avenue as you're going into downtown Youngstown. And I stopped by his place. I told him that I was going to stop by, and he had even forgotten that I had talked to him. And I told him I was going to stop by, and I'm going to go out and see him next week for my own tire needs. But I want to applaud him for what he's doing, and I'm asking all of you to support him. We always say that we want to support people, whether it's a new business in town. When I come back, I'm going to talk about business a little bit because I went to an event last night, and I'm going to talk about what happens when you lose business and how you lose jobs. And then we'll come back. We'll talk about the fiscal cliff. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about because it is open mic. So if you want me to shut up, if you call in, I will go on to whatever you want to talk about. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Bugman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Woo! Hey, this is Pastor Tyrone talking at you.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A judge in Austin Town has thrown out a perjury charge against the former police chief of Craig Beach. The charge against Joseph Borowski was tossed because the prosecuting attorney didn't show up on Wednesday. Borowski had been accused of lying during a disciplinary hearing about a dash cam video that showed him pulling a woman out of a car during a stop. Preliminary findings show no indication of foul play in the death of a two-month-old baby found unresponsive in his crib on Christmas morning. Trumbull County Coroner Dr. Humphrey Germaniak has not yet ruled on the cause of death of Delshawn Porterfield. That will require further testing and take about 2 months. Most major highway routes around Ohio are clear now and free from the accidents and slowdowns reported amid a winter storm. Department of Transportation snowplow crews have been out on roads where blowing and drifting snow accumulated. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Take a Lionel train to the faraway land of childhood dreams and fantasies. Give your child a Lionel train, the gift that has been creating family memories for over 100 years. Join their adventure to imaginary lands and unknown destinations. Lionel electric trains and accessories are built to be hands-on, rugged, educational, and fun. Attention to detail and craftsmanship has made Lionel an American legend. The clackety clack of the wheels, the puffing smokestack, the shining headlight, and the sound of the steam whistle can even bring out the child in you. Get aboard a Lionel train and experience a world driven by imagination. Give your child the greatest gift you can. Your time, your laughter, and your love, all shared with a Lionel train. Take a ride back to the wondrous days of childhood. Visit Krauss Mill True Value at 11788 Market Street in North Lima and experience our full range of Lionel trains. True Value. Start right. Start here.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
I see your hand over there. I see it. Holding your woman's leg. I see it. No, the other one.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'm listening to Etta James. I'm just listening to some of the people that we lost in 2012. And just doing some reminiscing of the year. The number here is 347-945-5229. It's open mic. Want you to call in. I will change the subject, and we'll go where you want to go. The fiscal cliff. And what it's going to mean to the average everyday American. They are fighting, strappling in over this. And I have major issues, as I said on yesterday, because they tend to wait until the climax of a situation to try to work harder to make a deal happen. And instead of them coming straight out and doing this up front and working fervently on this all year long, we time out for politics, we time out for elections, we time out for all of this instead of getting the job done. And I think this is a problem. I think this is something that should not be. I do not like a last-minute push of anything that you're down to the wire, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, they're going to go over the cliff. You're going to go over the cliff no matter what, because it's a game, and I hate that they do this. But if they should go into this fiscal cliff, the individual cost of taxes for people, it would affect 88% of American taxpayers. And the average would be $3,500 a year. And, you know, if you are making less than what you made, you're living paycheck to paycheck, you are trying to do the best that you can, you've already cut back on as much as you can cut back in your home spending, $3,500 is going to really slap you in the face with the price of everything around us going up. You know, I'm trying to find out why, you know, where I live here, gas was still 30 cents more than it was in other places. But I'll come to that on another day and another time. Unemployment, people that are on unemployment, see, because we created a monster of unemployment and we left people on as long as we have left them on, they may stop paying them. They tell me that what can also happen is your tax return that you're waiting for your money is going to not come out until March because they're going to have to lay off people. You know, all this kind of stuff is going to be a part of this fiscal cliff. And I think we need to, you know, senior citizens, it's going to affect them. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that are senior citizens that have been promised a lot of things. And we didn't give them what we promised them. You know, they said that they were going to get a pension. They were going to have benefits for the rest of their life. And you've got companies like General Motors and like your steel companies and other companies across the globe who promised these people things and then said, you know what, we're going to go bankrupt. We can't afford it anymore, and we're going to let our seniors go. So now the seniors who did not prepare to pay for their health care are now paying for it. Just because they're on Medicare does not mean they do not have co-pays. They're on a fixed income, and they can't go get a second job. I got problems with that. Because we've allowed these organizations and these companies to lie to these people. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, based on the behavior of the Congress and the Senate and with this fiscal cliff negotiations, I believe it's past time for us to vote on term limits as to how many terms congressmen and senators can serve, because this is an example of an abuse of power, and where people have taken vacations at times where it's not feasible to take a vacation, regardless of what their work level or schedule is during the year. I think everybody respects that. But it's the fact that you're leaving your office when you're at a critical time.
I agree.
And I don't think any other profession people are allowed to leave the office and go on vacation when they have such a critical things about to happen.
I mean, can you imagine, I'm going to play this clip, but can you imagine what will happen if they start cutting from senior citizens again?
Yeah, it's going to be devastating, and also the unemployment benefits running out for people, and they don't have another job to go to.
And they weren't prepared, and they're not prepared, but some of them don't even know.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very hard. I don't see how people are even able to spend money this Christmas season. If you got 2 million people about to lose their unemployment benefits, I don't see where these people got all this money to even spend money to buy gifts this Christmas. But they said consumer spending was down from last year. But, from what I could see, people were out there spending a lot of money, and there's a potential for inflation to come about if we go into another recession.
I've got a feeling that we're going to go in a recession as well as almost, and I think it's going to be worse than 2008.
Yes.
Because I think that was a false recession.
Yes.
Everybody didn't really feel that one.
Well, that was a situation in which we were at the precipice of the entire system collapsing, because if the banks could not guarantee the loans that had gone out and all of the banks defaulted, then all of your savings and all of your checking accounts, all of that would have been lost. And we would have had a run on the banks like we had in 1929.
But see, but what I'm saying is, I don't think everybody really comprehended, because there was some work done to make sure that
right.
everyone didn't feel it. But
right.
when bread starts going up and you start losing your federal benefit, when we really go into this European Greece type of decline, and it can go. We act like if America is, you know, it can't touch this. You know, this is not MC Hammer.
Right.
I think we're going to be in trouble. And I don't understand why we are not being honest. And even in the news, they're still not being honest with the people about how serious, because we have not even touched on how the Obamacare taxes are going to play into this also.
Well, see, that's the thing. The way the health care law is going to work, you know, at one time Social Security was called a socialist program because there were taxes taken out of each paycheck. And that's the way Obamacare is going to be. It's going to be an extra tax that's taken out of your paycheck to go into a pool to insure people that have been who have been uninsured, so that your employer has to take more money from what he nets in his profits to pay this tax. So that's going to cause employers not to want to hire people, because now they got an extra tax they got to pay.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how are we going to go past this? I mean, look at what's really going on. And as I look towards the future of 2013 and I look towards the past of 2012, how do we stay at a level playing field when these guys are really just playing, you know, they act like this is the, you know, this is like chess and we're expendable?
Well, I think a lot of people are uninformed, and because they don't, you know, maybe have a working knowledge of economics, they don't pay attention to what's actually happening.
It tells me that the Obamacare is going to be a fiscal cliff.
Yeah.
They said it claims that the tax plan will only increase the tax burden on those earning more than $200,000. What the Democrats, the media, and even the Republicans fail to mention is that there is an aspect of the fiscal cliff that will hit everyone. A number of Obamacare tax increases are scheduled to take effect in January. This tax increase will severely regressive to those in the middle and the bottom income ladder, as well as engender a record spike in the cost of health care premiums. The new taxes in 2013 will cap on the medical itemized deduction, a cap on private flexible savings account at 2.3% excise tax, a tax on medical devices at 3.9% surtax, on investment income, and for those earning more than $200,000, a 0.9% increase on their Medicare payroll.
Well, see, the Obama tax is in competition with the insurance premium, so that if you don't have private insurance, then you have to go through Obamacare, but the insurance companies have to compete with this, so therefore they're going to raise the prices on their premiums.
They said that there's going to be an excise tax on medical devices, and it will affect everyone. The tax will be applied to anything from wheelchairs to dental bridges to hearing aids and walkers.
Because I guess the government is going to regulate if the doctors in the hospitals have to go through Obamacare to be compensated. The government is going to regulate how much they pay for different treatments, and I guess the way they compensate for costs is they put taxes on all the medical devices.
You can't afford that.
Yeah.
We can't afford that. Right now, we can't. I mean, people can't afford. We're paying too much.
Yeah. Well, see, the income tax, now, they said the income tax is only going to go up for people making over $200,000, But you have a lot of people who have small businesses, and they're the sole proprietor. And so they list themselves on their tax returns. So therefore, you know, they're not, like a lot of people are not incorporated, and they're not an LLC. So if they are the sole person on the tax return and they run a business and they make $250,000, all of their taxes will go up.
I told them that I was going to, at the top, when I took my break, when I came back, I was going to talk about something. I went to an event last night. And the event that I went to, we have a private club. And the club was, at one time, African Americans couldn't join. And it's been around for a very, very, very long time. And this weekend, on Tuesday, the New Year's Eve bash will be the last night for them to be open. And the reason why they're closing, because now it's open to everyone. Black people can join. Anyone can join that wants to join. You know, it's been like that for a while. We've actually had events there over the years, and we continue to have them. And now the reason why it's closing is because we don't have enough business people to support that type of club anymore. And I don't think we understand that what happens when you don't have the businesses in the inner city that you used to have, that used to support those kind of places, that used to hire everyone around them. That's not a good thing.
Right. Well,
I don't think
that's just going to continue.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
Well, anytime you added costs onto employers, they're not going to hire as many people as they did because it's going to affect the profits.
But they're not even making profit now. Right now, you're just trying to affect your sustainability. They're really not even looking at profit right now. Right now, people are looking at sustainability and longevity. They're willing to sacrifice today for making a profit, or it's an investment. You know, when you have a business, it's an investment. You are putting time and money in for it to pay off in the future. But right now, you're trying to sustain your investment because you've put a lot of money and time into your current so that you can thrust into the future. But right now, you just got to stay alive because if I close my doors, I lose my investment. And after you've been working for yourself for a period of time, it's very, very difficult for you to say, I want to go back and get a job. I don't think we understand that.
Right.
You know,
because the person is used to working independently. They don't want to be told what to do.
Do you know how hard it would be for me to go to work for somebody now?
Yeah.
That would be so difficult. I don't know. That'd be hard. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic, and do want to have a conversation with you guys. Wow. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank everyone for sending my birthday wishes. I do really, really appreciate those of you who listen online. I want to thank you for that. It's really, really special to me to have so many. My goodness. And I cannot respond to each one of you individually, but I do want to say thank you. What's your resolution for the new year, Philadelphia?
Well, it's to, meet my obligations and, try to make it with the tax increases to try to budget my funds better than I did last year and keep more in a savings account and be able to save more money, because I think that the consumerism that we've done in the past, just buying things, I think that's going to be a thing of the past. In the next 2 or 3 years, people are not going to be able to buy as much as they did before. They're going to save more of their earnings.
I don't think they're going to be able to save. I think they're just going to be living from not even from paycheck to paycheck, but from dollar to dollar.
Right.
I do. I don't think they're going to be able to meet paycheck to pay. Savings. You know, savings is a luxury. When you have, but if you don't have it, I mean, if you got light bills, gas bills, I mean, right now we had a mild winter last winter, but that's not. But today it's not mild.
Mm-hmm.
Those gas bills are going to come kicking in. Those heating bills.
Right.
You spend more gasoline in the snow. You know, people that we were rolling and couldn't. We got to go out and buy tires now.
But I think the savings account is very important in this type of economic climate, because if you ever go into a financial crisis as a family or individual, which can easily happen, people are being foreclosed on, losing their jobs all the time. So if that ever happens to you, your savings account can be a cushion to maybe keep you from having to be homeless or something.
But that's what I'm saying. How do you save and be homeless too? How do you save and trying to hold on to the mortgage? You can't save and trying to pay the mortgage at the same time.
Yeah.
And if you take $3,500 out of my paycheck a year, how am I going to be able to? That was my savings. If I need a hearing aids are not covered by most insurances.
No. But
you know what
But also with the mortgage situation, you know, that happened because people bought homes they could not afford. And they bought, and some of the homes they bought in the form of investment property. But they went into these mortgages, and the banks did not verify income. They didn't do anything. They didn't do any type of verification. And the people got a mortgage where they had a ballooning interest rate. And
yeah.
It got to a point where after 2 or 3 months, the mortgage payment, it kind of doubled on them. And they couldn't pay it anymore, and they ended up defaulting on the mortgage.
But that was then. This has nothing to do with housing. Right now, this has everything to do with just living. This is just bread and butter. This is milk, bread, and eggs.
Well, in terms of people should go into mortgages where they know
you're missing
the contract
the point.
That they're signing.
This is not this today. This fiscal cliff. What's getting ready to happen right now? Has absolutely nothing to do with my mortgage. This is not Freddie. This is about money being pulled out of my check.
Right.
Jobs being denied, people being laid off, being cut back, hours being diminished. I had a friend and they took $10,000 out of her check a year.
Yeah.
And said, if you can't handle it, quit. Go find another job.
Well,
$10,000
that was taken out was for the $10,000 that was for taxes?
No. They just cut her wages.
Cut wages.
They just cut her. I mean, this is what they said. This is the job. If you want to do it, you can do it. But we're taking $10,000 a year from because we're only going to pay you X amount this year. We're not paying you what you got last year.
Yeah.
How do you know? Whoa, how do you do that? You know, that's mean.
Yeah.
Okay, I was paying my mortgage, I was paying my bills, but right now I'm having a hard enough time getting gasoline to go from home to work.
Yeah. Well, gasoline is definitely a problem because I have a small car, and every time I fill my tank, it's like $50.
That's what I'm saying.
And I can imagine if you're driving one of these big SUVs, you're paying like $70, $80 to fill the tank.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's a problem if you're making, say, if you're making less than $50,000, that's a problem.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When they're cutting. This has absolutely nothing to do with mortgage. Right now, it's just about survival. When your employer comes in and says, listen, we're going to have to take concessions, and you're going to either be laid off or you're going to work less hours.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, that's what they're doing to a lot of the lower skilled people. They only give you 4 hours. Like when people go into these places like Walmart or Macy's or any of these clothing places and they want to get a job, and they don't have a lot of job experience on their application. These employers will only give you 4 hours.
Philadelphia, listen. This is not, I want you to understand, the person that I'm talking about, she's got a master's degree.
Yeah.
This is not no low-skilled job.
Oh, okay.
We're not talking, low-skilled people, they're going to be able to jump back in the system and do something else.
Hey.
When we talk about low skill, no skill, and impoverished folks, they're going to be all right.
Hey.
I'm talking about this is middle class people. She's got a master's. Do we understand that?
Yeah. Well, if a person is higher in the system, then they're being paid more money. So, you know, their employer doesn't want to pay that salary.
You listen, $10,000 a year, no matter where you make it, at whatever level, $10,000. You don't. That's my savings.
Right.
That's my, you know. That's $700. Who has $700 expendable cash a month? Hey, South Carolina, how are you, darling?
I know I don't have $700 extra every month. That's a car payment, an extra house payment. I mean, you know, I looked at mine, and yeah, I'm gonna be up there close to that $400-$500 a month more in taxes a month. So that's gonna put a real dent in my income.
Check this out. Now, $10,000. They cut her check by $10,000, and now Bill just put in the math for me. And with $3,500 in taxes, with the fiscal cliff, that's gonna be another $291.67 a month that she's gonna have to not deal with because of her tax increase going up. Come on, that keeps on adding. That's $13,000 a year.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money to lose.
That's crazy.
That's invisible money. See, that's the problem. We're not looking at this as tangible. That's invisible money.
Yeah.
Because remember, FICA, you don't pay out. FICA leaves before FICA comes in the door. And then tell you, if you don't like it, go find another job. And the job market is so weak now, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
And everyone is doing this.
So what field is she in?
She's in automotive. See, and you got to understand, when General Motors restructured, but they did a lot of offshooting of contract work. And they try to act like they did something great for the American people and they kept people in their jobs. But what they did was they played a shell game. They played three-card Molly with a lot of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama got credit for saving the auto industry, but yet a lot of people got screwed in the end. We don't want to talk about that because that doesn't make news. That's why I say the media is disingenuous, because if they were genuine, they would go out and tell the truth about what really happened to a lot of people in America with this whole bailout of the auto industry. They lied. They lied about Delphi. They lied about how they structured the bankruptcy. They went bankrupt. And the bankruptcy was about getting all non-productive people off of their payrolls. And as long as you had the federal guarantee fund for the pensions, they could knock them off the payroll and still get a paycheck. But they would come off of General Motors' back. We're not talking about that. How do you go bankrupt and come back?
Their
pension's guaranteed by the pension guarantee fund. But, again, it came off of General Motors' back, so that's how they became profitable. They had so many people that wouldn't die. And instead of them going bankrupt like everyone else, they went through a managed bankruptcy. They put the unions before they put their debtors and their shareholders, and they screwed a lot of people out of a lot of stuff. And we didn't pay attention, and the media, no one wanted to report on it. No one wanted to tell the truth about what really is going on in America. The same thing with the fiscal cliff. How do you extend people's unemployment for 99 weeks and all of a sudden say you don't get a check next month?
Well, I think what Newt Gingrich has said, that if somebody's on unemployment for 99 weeks, that's like 2 years, they can go out and do something about their skill level. They can go to a junior college, take a couple of classes, and maybe they can try to, that time the person can try to better themselves.
Philadelphia, you don't listen. Listen to what I said.
Yeah.
You don't give out unemployment for 99 weeks. and then come back next week and say, fiscal cliff, here's a noose. Here, tie it around your neck or hold it by your arm because we get ready to drop you off.
Right, but the point I was trying to make is that the length of time was too long, and a lot of the presidential candidates on the Republican side had made comments about the fact that you're just starting to enable people when you keep them on unemployment that long.
But you're right, but listen to what I'm talking about, the rudeness of this. It used to be 26 weeks. How in the world did it get to 99? And with the 99, all of a sudden, tomorrow, you may not get a check next month. Are you following
me? Well, then if people don't get a check, then they're going to have to apply for welfare.
Listen to what, but listen, you may or may not be able to afford welfare. You may not qualify.
Yeah,
your assets
Because, Tracy, that unemployment that you've been getting is counted as income, and it's going to put you over the income level. That's the whole point. You're going to have people out there. People do not realize exactly what the nanny state has done to them. It has killed them. I mean, it's like, so do you realize, that if you're on unemployment, depending on what job you had and how much unemployment you're getting, it will not allow, it puts you in an income bracket that won't let you get welfare. You can't get food stamps and so on and so forth. So if your unemployment goes away, guess what? You're out of luck. If you're using that to help pay for your mortgage, you're out of luck. They're going to foreclose on your house. So this what has happened is they have created a situation that has made people dependent on the system, and now they're going to rip that floor mat or that floor out from under them, and they're going to fall flat on their faces.
And there's no safety net because, remember, some of these people don't have kids. Some of these people are single. Some of these people, if you don't have children, you don't get, there is no welfare.
You don't get it. You do not get it.
So now I got to go make a baby to get a livelihood so I don't starve. Are we looking at this? This is crazy.
Tracy, when I heard about them, you know, getting together for this whole, you know, meeting and everything, I told a friend of mine this morning, it's nothing more than a dog and pony show. All it is a photo op. Nothing's going to become of it. Nothing's going to come out of it. And by the time the meeting's over with, we'll still be at the same point that we started when the meeting, you know, convened. And then just like, we're just going to go off the cliff, folks, and everything is going to be cut. Stuff's going to be cut across the board. Taxes are going to go up. The president's going to get what he wanted. More people being taxed. Hey, he's happy. Does he really care? No, I don't. You don't care about me. You don't care about me if you're going to handicap me, give me everything that I asked for, and then some, and then take it away. No, that's not care. Why don't you teach me how I can do better? That's crazy.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention to what's really happening in our world. And I don't know how. I mean, because right now everybody's having a picnic. 2013's coming in. They're sitting down talking. The world is looking, and we think that we can't become Greece. That's a lot of money to lose, even if they, because once it starts, I mean, even, I don't, can they fix it after they go, after it goes downhill, South Carolina? If they go off the cliff, can they fix this? Because my understanding is, if they go off the cliff, they can't go back.
No, because it's automatic. It kicks in automatically by the law. The only way they can do that is to repeal the law and make all those taxes retroactive. This is a nightmare for the IRS. If you're getting a refund, that's gonna be delayed a good anywhere from 20 to 45 days is what they're saying. So, hey, it's crazy.
So it will not stop anything. And everybody most people in America look at their tax refund check as a savings plan.
Yeah, I don't get anything back. Tracy, what I'm doing is making it so I don't have to pay anything extra. If I don't have to pay anything, I'm good.
But see, that's smart. Most people don't know how to do that.
What you do is you have to zero out your income. I mean, you know, before my daughter became old enough from her not to be my dependent, I zeroed out all of my dependents. I didn't take any sleep or any dependents out of my check. Zeroed it all out. I've got another friend, he's married, and he just put down for himself single. And they take out of his check, married but taking withholding at a higher single rate, and he just goes with that and just forgets about it. If he gets a refund, it's fine. If he doesn't get one, and doesn't have, as long as you don't have to pay any money back, any more money to the government, he's happy.
Well, it's kind of sad, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
And we are dealing in this, and right now, I'm watching this as play out on the, and lawmakers are set for fiscal cliff meeting. I don't understand how they're still meeting, knowing that they're not going to move, unless the deal's been cut and they're just showing TV ops or photo ops.
Well, I think the debate is whether these tax laws will cause a slowing of economic growth, because they're already at 7% unemployment, and whether it will even continue even higher if they allow tax laws to stay in place.
It already has.
Think about it. I want you to think about this. All right. You are making $500 a month. Okay. Just for the sake of discussion, you're bringing home $400 a month after they take out all your taxes and all your deductions. Okay. So you're living on $400 a month. Okay, after you pay all your bills and everything, let's just say you have maybe $100 as disposable income to do little things that you want to do, like, you know, buy clothes and the little extra stuff. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if your taxes go up another $50 a month? That's half of what you had as disposable income. That $50 that you had, that you could go out and patronize some of the businesses in the community, goes away. But that's just not your $50. You put that across the board for everybody that's in the same income bracket as you. That's you multiply that exponentially, and that's all the money that's coming out that's not being circulated in the economy, but going to the government. And there's no way you cannot tell me that this does not harm the economy when you take that much quote unquote revenue out of the pockets of the American people and give it to the government. That's stupid.
Now, check this out. It says Friday will be a last-ditch effort for a compromise between President Barack Obama and high-ranking Congress in regard to the dreaded fiscal cliff. So now, listen to this. Today's Friday, 28th. We've got another 4 days until 3 days until it actually goes into effect. Why is Friday the last this effort instead of going through the weekend and the holiday?
Well, I think it's because of the amount of time that they have to get the legislation through Congress. I don't know.
So no. See, what they can do is they can bring everybody's happy tail, because my congressman is still sitting in Youngstown.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So if he's sitting in if my congressman is having his happy tail downtown with a beard, why is he not in D.C.?
Yeah,
because
it would take too long
to get everybody back in.
They could have an all night session, and then they could vote on it on Monday before the first comes around. And so all the Congress people should be in their offices.
And
you
following where I'm at? You keep on riding with me. Listen to what I'm saying. Why is my congressman here, and why are they not in session, and why are they not working?
Because they know it's futile. It's a futile effort. They already know. Either one of two things, Tracy. One of three things. Either they don't care. Either the deal has been done and they know it's been done, or there is no deal and they're not going to waste their time. One of three things.
So why are they there? because if they cared and they were representing the people, if you know that this is going to be a detrimental to most of the people that are your constituents, why would you not have your tail in Washington, and why would they not be convening, and why would they not be working? This is both the Senate and the House. And why are we allowing it, getting when they get paid as much as they get paid, but you got kids who are working for minimum wage, you got old people, I'm not going to say kids, you got people working for minimum wage on Christmas Day away from their families so that they can make their ends meet. But you're going to get paid $167,000 a year, and you can't go there and be in Washington. You've got your own apartment, you've got your own life that we pay for?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, this is why people need to have term limits, so that these people can't serve all of these years, and they're able to turn these seats over.
Hey, fella, we have the opportunity. You know, the only individuals that are appointed for life are on the Supreme Court, and even they can get impeached. Everybody else, we have a choice. We can vote those little suckers out of office.
But I mean, am I wrong about looking at it this way? I don't understand. I mean, I said this yesterday, and I'll continue to say this today. I don't understand how we're allowing this to happen. Whether it be term limits, because they're not going
to
vote out my congressman. My congressman will be there until he moves himself, because he's a nice guy. My grace says this is irrelevant, but it may be. But my question is, do we not understand they get paid to go to work?
Yeah.
They don't get paid to come home and kick it.
No, but the problem with politics today on a national level is people go into it as a profession. I don't think the founders of the country meant for people to be in politics their whole career like Joe Biden did and like Charles Rangel did. I don't think the founders intended for people to do that. They intended for people of different professions to come and serve, and then once their time of service was over, which could be 4 or 6 years, they intended them to go back to their life that they had before.
Here's the problem. It's not national. That little fellow that came and stood up in front of me and said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, walk around and shook everybody's hand and give everybody barbecue, I know where he live at. I know his kids. I probably went to school with some of his family. I can walk up and knock on his door. He does not live in a castle. He lives in a two-bedroom ranch-style house maybe 5 miles away from me. This is not some king or queen or some elite individual. This is somebody that got the most votes in the last election. Just because you go to Congress, that don't mean that you change into somebody else, but that's what's happening. These guys go to Congress, and we tend to treat them like they are kings and queens and go along with whatever they say, no matter if we disagree with them, no matter what they do, no matter how wrong they are, we overlook it because that's the congressman. He got elected. To heck with that. They are voting us into a serious, serious economic situation. When all the economists say this is a bad idea, hey, all of them are not wrong.
And the thing is, and this is my issue, they're kicking it. Their lives will not be affected.
Not one bit.
By what's going on. They will not be affected. Nancy Pelosi is still going to be on her private jet. And on her public jet going back to San Francisco. Boehner's going to do the same thing. So is Harry Reid. President Obama's going to go back to Hawaii and kick it with his kids.
Yeah.
They will not be affected by what's happening.
Yeah.
Yet they are.
Well, it's just, like the other person has said, it's an insensitivity that's bred because these people are in the media. They're in the spotlight. People know who they are.
No. Listen, I don't get me wrong. I don't watch a whole lot of news because I try not to regurgitate. I try to find the facts out. I try to surf the net. I try to do all that. But I try not to regurgitate other people's programs because I think that's plagiarism. And I try to do this fresh. I don't hear anybody else talking about yo-ho and everybody being at home when we're getting ready to go into a serious situation that's going on in Washington, and if today by 3:30, 4 o'clock, if they can't come to a deal, we just going to go off the cliff. Today's the 28th. And they knew about this. They knew about this how long? This just didn't happen. And then we haven't even gotten to the tax, we got to the cuts, but we got a debt ceiling coming up also.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Well, see, the thing is that if they repeal some of these tax laws and they allow spending and they don't have a cap on spending through the Budget Control Act that they passed in 2011, then we will go into a Greece-like situation.
Dude,
in order to
comply with the Budget Control Act, you first got to have a budget.
You don't have a budget.
There is no budget. There isn't. There hasn't been one in three sections of 3 years. There is no budget. They refuse to pass it. Harry Reid refuses to take it up into the Senate. So tell me about that. You don't have to comply with the Budget Control Act. You ain't got no budget.
So, and we are allowing it. Look at the vote. Look at the voting patterns of this. And they're sitting around kicking it. You don't see your congressman holding meetings asking you what should they do. Name South Carolina. Y'all had some town hall meetings there?
Not a one.
Philadelphia? You heard of any town hall meetings?
No, well, the congressman that's in this district, he's been in Congress for like over 20 years.
No. I don't want to know how long he's been. And the question is, have he called you on the phone? Have you heard from him?
No.
When he's running for office.
No.
When he's running for office and he has a healthy opponent, he knows how to find you. He knows how to reach out to you. He knows how to come out and shake your hand. He knows how to stop at your church. He knows how to come eat some chicken. But right now, we're in a crisis and they don't know how to reach anyone?
Well, evidently not. Evidently, they don't.
What do you mean they don't? No, they don't. They know how. They don't care.
No, they obviously don't care. Like the other person that said, the deal has already been made.
So what we going to do? Because, see, again, I want everybody to understand. This is not going to affect them. See, they've made themselves that no matter when the house burns down, they part of the house is insulated.
Got that right. When whoever is in Congress, their little Johnny gets sick, and little Johnny needs a little some help. They ain't got to go down to the health department.
They're
go to Walter Reed or someplace like that and get. Then they're gonna get their free medicine.
They have made themselves insulated. So no matter what bad decisions are made by them, they're never affected by them.
And here's the rub. You know, people know that Tracy's, conservative. And for me being on the show, they know that I'm a conservative, okay? But I'm not just talking about Republicans. I'm talking about the whole lot of them. 535 individuals up there that have just, as far as I'm concerned, they can all kiss my backside.
That's what I'm saying.
Because that's where my wallet is. They're going to be back there anyway taking money out of it. They might as well go ahead and kiss it.
And Migraine is in the chat room. Migraine, this is the issue. The issue is you are a representative government. You are a representative government. If you're a representative government, you should represent the people who you say that you govern. And they are not representing the people. And I have a problem with people being duped in an election. And then at the end of the day, coming back and finding out that your people who are representing you have built forts around them so that they never feel the pain of the decisions that they make. Because they're here and they're kicking it. And they really don't care about what's really going on with the average American person. That bothers me. And lethal migraine, I turned 48 today. And I've got issues with this.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you.
Thanks, honey. But I have issues with this. I do. I do. Because our future, our education, all this is really coming to a head. And we are going to have to stand up and take our country back. South Carolina, and I didn't mean that in a racist way.
I got you. And what you got is, just like you're saying, Tracy, if you can save $13,000, they're paying $7,000, $17,000 to educate a child. It only takes $3,000 or $4,000 to do it with. Where's that extra money going to?
I don't know.
You know as well as I do that you can. It doesn't take that much money to educate a child.
Well, yes, it does. You want me to tell you why?
Why?
Yes, it does, South Carolina. It really, really does. Because in an area that you have, think about this, within an area we have, I think, something like 88 school districts.
Okay.
Some school districts have 1,400 people and some school districts have 6,000 people. I'm talking about students.
Okay.
But all the superintendents are making $100,000.
Okay, you got an attendance of 1,400, and you got an attendance of 14,000, and all the superintendents are making the same amount of money. Something's wrong with that picture.
It is what it is.
Well, see, in a lot of the urban school districts, the cost goes to the administration. The teachers, the starting salary for most teachers is around like $30,000. If they're working at a public school, if they work
yeah,
at
but
a private
if you stay there long enough, baby,
school,
you do
higher.
Well.
Yeah, but right. But what they have to do, they have to get tenure, and they have to stay there longer, and through the union, their salary will go up.
But see, you're missing my point. Listen to what we're saying. The problem is, you've got a superintendent who is under contract. He ain't under the union. You got 88 districts. 88 districts and $100,000 per superintendent. So if you can have 12,000 students and you can have 1,200 students and still make the same amount of money, why not consolidate those education systems for overhead?
Well, that's basically what's happening because in this school district here, they're going to close 37 schools because they have a decrease in the enrollment.
Sweetie, no, they're closing 37 schools. We're talking about districts, not schools.
Yeah.
See, you're not closing the districts. What you're doing is you're closing the schools because we have to realize inner city schools, or so to say, suburban schools do not want inner city schools coming out to their districts and
no,
going
right.
to school with them. Not
right.
unless they play, not unless they're athletic.
Yeah.
So we are, our overhead is killing us.
Right. And it's the same way. In most of the school districts, because the enrollments have gone down because of the charter.
No. You're not hearing what I'm saying. We're doing this just as overhead. A new call. Hold on. This is just serious. You want to know where the money goes? The money goes to overhead. It doesn't even go to teacher salaries per se. It goes to overhead. 261, your mic is on. Paul.
Oh, hey, Tracy.
Hey, happy Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year.
Yes, I just want to wish you a happy New Year in the coming year. I hope you get all the things that you desire.
I love you.
And I want to thank you for your program. It's very informative, but it never changes, you know, as far as all this information goes out here, but we don't know how to put it together to use it. But this it's nice to know who's got the money. And one thing I come up with in this solution that we all should get a government job and we'd all be happy. So to all your listeners for the coming year, Happy New Year, and I'll see you on the other side if the Lord will. Have a good day.
Paul, are you trying to tell me all I got to do is get a government job?
Get a government job because that's what I'm listening to all you guys talk for the last few years, and the answer is get a government job and you won't be bothered with this stuff.
I don't know because they get ready to lay off the IRS people in a minute.
Don't worry about that. Just go on and get you one of them jobs. Don't worry about it. That's the way you look at it. So you have a blessed day. Love you.
Love you, Paul. You know what? Sticks, your mic is on.
Hey, you know, you was talking about the school district problem. Now, but you got a local problem with that too. Do you think Sebring or Malvern is going to give up their school district that graduates 25 kids a year and assimilate into one of the larger school districts around them? That ain't going to happen. It's already been tried. I mean, they've tried to get Sebring to assimilate into West Branch, and you'd have thought somebody was trying to rape somebody's mama.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But all the superintendents make the same amount of money. So if you take those 88 districts and you multiply just the superintendent's salary and his benefit package, you save some money right there.
Well, I just heard we got a superintendent here in West Branch that's going to retire and then come back and go back to work.
Right, because it's easy for them to go on to the pension system and just pay, and the benefits will come off. It saves the district money.
He was a school teacher before.
Right, it saves the district money. It's called retire, rehire. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, down here they call it the cherry system. But what happens down here, Tracy, is they actually get paid their retirement, plus they get the salary that we're making or that position calls for.
They do that here
thing,
too.
The only difference is they're not paying any of the fringe.
That's what they do here. They're getting paid double. And then if you go into the police system, I don't know if they still have it, but they have what they call the drop. Then the drop system is you take your salary and you put it into a pool of money and they go and invest it. And then they pull out you pull it out when you retire after a certain amount of time. And you make a nice little pension.
Yeah.
And I got to go, and you have a happy birthday, but there's one more thing I wanted to add, too. And a lot of people don't realize this, but under Obamacare, their rents are necessarily going to have to go up 15% because Obamacare is going to require all the landlords to pay Social Security tax on their rental incomes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to raise rents. So to make the same amount of money, landlords are all going to have to raise their rent 15% to cover the Social Security tax that they didn't used to have to pay.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Is that the beginning of 2013?
I'm not sure if it's 13 or 14 because my tax guy doesn't know what's going to happen yet.
See what I'm saying, guys?
He's right.
But you have a blessed day, dear.
You too. Love you guys. I mean, and I don't think we know the severity of this and how it's going to play out and how we're going to work into this. And then they're all on lunch breaks. See, that's my problem. I mean, look at what's going on here and how it affects you. It does not affect your elected officials. It does, and they and being in a democracy as America, you have to be an informed electorate. If you are not an informed electorate, you lose. And what's happening is they have dumbed down the system so much that no one is an informed electorate. That's how we have the situation that we're in, because we're not holding these people accountable, and they are running amok. Why is your congressman in your district when there is a physical crisis, or fiscal crisis, should I say, in Washington, D.C.? Why are they not there waiting up on a phone call?
Well, they're not doing it because, they already struck the deal before they went on vacation.
So why, again, that ain't even good political theater.
Yeah.
At least if you get ready to burn down the house, you have a bucket of water on the side. You would think.
Well, the House and the Senate and the President could not come to a deal, and this was whenever they did this, what, 8 months ago? And they had super committee.
Yeah. What happened to the super committee? You didn't hear nobody
the
about
super committee. They made their decision. They could not agree on anything, so they came out with this sequestration deal, and that's what happened.
You had
idiots in there, you know?
So,
and the person that's supposed to be leading this whole mess is sitting with, well, I can't say that. just sitting pretty, like, you know, like the king. I mean, he's kind of like the guy that picks a fight between, you know, pushes two people up to fight and then sits back and watches what happens. It's crazy.
And I'm with you on that. I've got some issues. I've got to take a break in a minute. But I'm serious. I want people to look at this in a different perspective, because you have no say in what's going on right now. But you do have a say that's going on in your elections. And because of how they're acting right now, we need to open our eyes when it comes back to re-elections. Because, see, in the next couple of years, we'll forget what happened in December of 2012.
I don't, Tracy. I won't.
I don't forget. But see, that people will forget what happened in December 28th of 2012, that they were all sitting at home. Because remember, your congressmen have insulated themselves to where they are not affected by their decisions. None of them. Your president is not affected by your decisions. He can go and even he can go to war, and they're still going to save his life and his family. I mean, we really, really need to look at how this works here. And I don't think we're paying attention, because this is not good. This is not good. Hey, it's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, South Carolina, don't you go anywhere, because I want to talk to you about this father thing before too long, because I don't want this to get too far from what's going on with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power & Associates. Find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers at your local Bosch dealer. J.D. Power & Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A judge in Austintown has thrown out a perjury charge against the former police chief of Craig Beach. The charge against Joseph Borowski was tossed because the prosecuting attorney didn't show up on Wednesday. Borowski had been accused of lying during a disciplinary hearing about a dash cam video that showed him pulling a woman out of a car during a stop. Preliminary findings showed no indication of foul play in the death of a two-month-old baby found unresponsive in his crib on Christmas morning. Trumbull County Coroner Dr. Humphrey Germaniak has not yet ruled on the cause of death of Del Sean Porterfield. That will require further testing and take about 2 months. Most major highway routes around Ohio are clear now and free from the accidents and slowdowns reported amid a winter storm. Department of Transportation snowplow crews have been out on roads where blowing and drifting snow accumulated. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com, estate planning made simple.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
You enjoy what you're listening to and what you're about to listen to. That's why you picked this station. Now the programming you love goes where you go, thanks to iHeartRadio. It's a free app that plays this station and over 1,500 stations from across the country. Your favorite station now plays on everything. iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, even Xbox, Google TV, or Kindle Fire, totally free. iHeartRadio.com.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is open mic today, and do want to hear from you. And the number is 347-945-5229. And I want to, you know, as I said, this is the last time we'll be on this year. We won't come back until the new year. And I want to thank all of you who tune in, who stayed with us for the last year. And we appreciate our new listeners. I want to thank you for listening in. We do want you to call in. And we want to tell us how we can make it better. We want you to tell us how we can make this better, how we can do things better, and make it to where it will be enjoyable for you. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. South Carolina, you there?
Yep, right here.
You sent me an email, and you talked about the lack of fathers.
Yeah, and
I told you we would get to it, and I wanted to do that because I've got problems, as you guys know, with the lack of importance of fathers and males in the community and in America anymore. And every time you see somebody going crazy, you never hear about dad.
Yep. Always the mother is the primary custody of it. But it's just really startling that figure that I showed was across the board 37% of number one, the one that stuck out to me was African American households have both parents in the household. 37%.
Yeah.
That is.
Well, that's because in the African American community, there's a focus on living together and not being married. And just if you have a girlfriend, you just move into with your girlfriend, but you don't have to be married to have children.
Where did that come from?
That's just a trend that you find in the African American community. You don't see it as much in other communities. But that's because. Because
where did
that
come from? When did we get to the point we started advocating the responsibility of a man in his home?
Because I think with the African American men, they feel like they're on the outside of the system. They don't feel like they're a part of the way things should work properly. So therefore, they look for ways to get around any type of structured order that they can, and that's why you see the irresponsibility of a lot of the African American men when it comes to taking care of their families and supporting their families financially like they should, because they don't feel like they're a part of the country, a part of the system. They don't feel like they can truly succeed in the system.
But where did that come from? Where
now, just to give you an idea. Just kind of in 1943, okay?
Okay.
75% of African American children lived in a two parent household, okay? By the time you get to 1957, that number dropped to 57%. A lot of that had to do with World War II, okay? By the time you get to 1968, the numbers dropped even further. And then you get to today, and now you're at 37%. It seems like this number should have plateaued, but now it just keeps going down, down, down. And it doesn't make sense. And there was a movie that came out. It's called Claudine. And this movie starred Diane Carroll, James Earl Jones, and Lawrence Hilton Jenkins, one of the children in this movie as well. And in this movie, Claudine had to play this role where, if she did not have, or she had a new iron in the house, the worker wanted to know where the iron came from, and they would deduct it from her check, and one of the he was having sex with, and all the rest of this stuff, and all this stuff, and her boyfriend, who was James Earl Jones, if he came around, he couldn't leave anything there, no clothes, no shoes, no nothing. And so it basically was a movie about how to get stuff from the system and not get caught. I mean, it's an interesting movie to watch. I mean, it's about, you know, the culture in the 60s and how black women were put in these positions, and albeit, you know, black men part in it. But it shows how the government basically, you know, structured the African-American family from 1968 during the time of the Great Society on.
So, okay, and I understand that. I understand that.
But what I'm trying to figure out, Tracy, is during this whole time, you had the church. And you had leaders, Jesse Jackson and all those guys. They advocated against this. All of a sudden, it changed.
Did a check have to do anything with it?
I think
so. I think the reason why they changed is because they were told after the 60s that blacks would get a major employment in the government sector. So they were told to vote for the Democratic Party, and that if they expanded the government, the black Americans would be taken care of as a group of people. And that's the reason why the dynamic changed in terms of the value of work and the value of marriage and family, because of the fact that the woman couldn't get government benefits if there was a man of working age that was in the home.
Well, that didn't happen in the white community.
Well, but the reason why it didn't happen in the white community, because we all know this is a white-dominated society. It's easier for a white man to get a job than it is for a person who's a minority.
But let me ask you this. Okay, I'll give you that. It's easier for a white man to get a job than a black man. But what does that have to do with it? It's easier for a black man to make a baby and not take care of it?
There you go.
What can we say?
But what happened is that, you know, it was the receiving of benefits from the government.
Philadelphia, listen. Yeah. Listen to what I said. No man should drop a seed and not take care of the fruit that it produces. No man should drop his seed somewhere and allow it to produce a fruit and not come back and talk to that fruit and see what produces out of it. And what we have done is we have created a culture where you can drop your seed all over the ground like grass and then step all over it and not care what it becomes. And I don't know. And you can't tell me. You can't tell me the reason why that's slavering.
Yeah.
That's amoral.
Well, it definitely is amoral, but the reason why it's happening is because many of these men do not feel a part of the system. They feel like they're outsiders.
No, sweetie, the reason why that's happening is because we have allowed it as women and as a society. And South Carolina, in 2013, we ain't going to never call Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton the leader again. Yeah. They're a thug who got a position to do something. But they ain't leading. They are not leaders.
They're overseers.
That's what they are. They are over. That's good words. We need to get a picture and put it up there. They're overseers. But they have nothing to do with leading. They're being led. Private call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Mr. Solution. How are you?
Good, how are you?
All right, the men are close, but they're not quite on it. They are right about the power of the government, but they're not aligning it. I shall do that. The government has given you all the power, Tracy, to veto anything that a man says. And I listen to you quite often, and most women, American women, are like you. They don't want to hear what a man has to say, so a man has no power. We talk about men having responsibility, but they have no power. And power, the definition of power is the ability to overcome opposition. In other words, if the woman says something and the man, she should be in a position of wanting to agree with the man. But if the man says, don't do this, then the law and all of society should support what he has to say. But that's not what they do. They support the woman. And so that's the reason that most of you all are not good girlfriend and good wife material, because you're not in cooperation. You don't want to listen to a man. You want to bark out orders. And oftentimes you do not know what you're talking about because
you
don't
what?
Have these.
Let me throw this out to you. Solutions. Let me throw this out to you, and I mean this sincerely. And I do. I mean, you make a good point a lot of times, but because of how you deliver it.
Well, how is that? I'm just telling
no,
you.
Because what you do is, see, you act like you know someone.
You're damn right, I do.
But you don't.
Listen
you don't
to
know,
them.
No,
listen,
you,
listen
no,
to
no, no, no. I'll say it out loud. You don't know me.
Listening
you,
to
no,
a person.
No,
well, I'm
you
talking
no,
about women
no,
like
no,
you.
No, no,
if
you can't
do
you,
just sweetheart, pull yourself out of
you
the
don't
equation.
Know me. You don't know me, and you don't know women like me. You have no idea who I am.
Okay,
you listen
now,
to, no,
now
I,
the
I,
thing
let me
you,
finish.
I date
you
women,
listen to
you
a
don't.
Talk
you
radio
women?
Host. You listen to a talk radio host.
Do you
don't,
date
no,
women?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
but you
I do,
but you
so I have an insight.
But you don't know me, and you have to quit. You have to quit marginalizing people by what you hear. Especially inside of talk radio, because solutions you don't know, because I don't know you. And we need to know, if we're going to have an open conversation, you can't make an open conversation and make an indictment first. That's not how it works. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Great, Tracy. How are you?
You are in so much trouble.
I am?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I remember that. I called in because I heard you know what you guys got on with the men and their responsibility and all that. This kind of ties into I believe I was talking to you. I was talking to you. I'm still putting together this business plan for. I think you remember about the trust for children.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And this ties directly into that, the reasoning for it, because the reason why men a lot of times abdicate responsibility is because it's like you want to give man responsibility, but like Mr. Solution said, you don't want to give him any power over the situation.
I agree.
The state creates – the state treats children like a bill, and they treat the man like – it's a debt onto the man, and so he must pay, and he's in collections for the next 18 years, and then he has no say so about what goes on with that child. And that's really I've talked to several men about this, and it's almost unanimous. You know, most of them feel that. If you then they feel that, you know, woman, if you put me on child support, then that's all you gonna get if you get that. You know, now they may garnish my check, but don't think that you're gonna garnish my check, take my money and spend it how you want to spend it. I have no say on how it's spent, what it should go towards, and you know, as a man should be overseeing, you know, what happens with his children. You're just going to take my money and do whatever you want to do with it, and then expect me to come around and do extra, you know, be a babysitter. Now you want to go out and I'm supposed to take care of the kid and do all this extra stuff, basically pretend to be a daddy. You can't, you know, and it's insulting. It is so insulting. And
you and I have talked about
this.
Do
not get it.
You and I have talked about this because, see, I have a problem from conception all the way through. See, this is my issue. I choose whether I'm going to keep the child or not, and I don't have anything – the man has absolutely nothing to say about the seed that he contributed to make this child. So then I have this child, and now you must pay. If I abort this child, you have no say.
Right.
I have a problem with that. I have a problem with both of it. Hold on, Solutions. I also have a problem –
Let me know when, because there's a
delay. I'll let you know when, Solutions. I have a problem also.
Uh-huh.
I also have a problem that you give me a check you don't have any type of tax relief with the check that you give me. You can you have it's like you get a bill and you pay the bill, but as far as being able to write off as far as your child support on your taxes, you have you can't do that.
Well, no. Tracy, what happens with that is, you know, if the custodial parent decides to let you do it, you can do it. But if you file those taxes and they say or she says that you could not or you weren't supposed to file those children, guess what? That money is added onto a debt that you got to pay back. I know a guy that's paying back $6,000 because of that right now.
And Alex and I have talked about this. I have a problem with men not having – there should be accountability for them. And I'm not saying men. I'm going to say the person who's paying child support should be able to have accountability for what that where that money goes. You just can't go and buy a new car for your boyfriend.
Well, the person paying child support should also – not just accountability, like, well, the money went here, but the person should be able to decide where the money goes before it's spent. And it doesn't. It's just taken, you know, out of the usually the man, you know, it's just taken out of their paychecks and just given to the woman, and she just does whatever she wants to do with it. And then and a lot of times the woman then calls and saying and asking for more money. And it's like, well, what did you do with this money? Well, I have to pay my rent and this, that, and the other. And so, and women will often use that as a justification. Well, you know how much my rent is, but wouldn't you have rent if you didn't have a child anyway? So really, so the vast majority of that of your rent money, it's no excuse. You know, you'd have to pay for your housing whether you had a child or not. And so like
one of the things that I do know is, they do that. However, I know a lot of them that live in government subsidized housing. And guess what?
Right.
They do not have to list that child support money
right.
as income unless they want mm-hmm. to. They don't have to list it.
Go ahead, yep. Solution.
Yeah, there's. I'm working while I'm talking to you guys. Look here, there's a more fundamental problem than that, and I brought this up on the show last time. And I'm going to say the men should stop being neutered and actually speak the truth. The fact of the matter is the fundamental problem is at reproduction and reproductive law. And the fact, and you guys touched on it, women are given all the power of reproduction, and the law will back them in whatever moronic, idiotic position that they take, having a child that they can't take care of. So the law supports the woman because it manipulates her. It uses her as a conduit to create this really a type of slavery, because many of these kids go into juvenile hall and they're perpetually in the penal system. And, of course, that is a great profit maker. But what needs to happen, in my humble opinion, is that men and women need to slug it out in forums such as this. This is where the fight should take place. And what we need to tell women, if you have equal responsibility, if you have equal rights, you need to share the responsibilities. And men need to stop being stupid and close mouth and say what those responsibilities are. Having sex does not equal you want a baby. Women are not forced to be mothers by law. They can have an abortion. They can adopt the child out. And, of course, they have the best birth control. Women are in control of this mad ship. And men need to reattach their balls and be able to say it. I know they don't like to hear the truth, but men, you need to say it. And the women who have the guts to join with men need to say it also, because everybody is losing as a result of this perpetual problem, creating all these bastard children. If you can say bastard, it's in the Bible, but, you know, I don't know about your show. But the point of it is creating all these bastard children is destructive to the community. And women are doing that. They're doing what the law allows. Close quote.
Oh, okay. I agree. I agree. I, again, but then... But then no one wants to speak up about the amorality. And when we go back to marriage, when we were talking about with fathers and being
right.
married, marriage is a bad word. You know, we don't marry now. We just have babies, and it's just okay. And the more we have, I mean, you read the obituaries of a young man, he'll have 10 kids. And you know he ain't taking care of all of them.
No.
And let me say this, too. Men are only with women where the women allow it. Every man that's with a woman, the woman makes the choice to allow that man to be with her. How do I know that? Because I date women, and I know that women reject men. Usually they reject the better men and choose the a-holes, the jerks, the players, and so on and so forth. So 99% of your problem in the male-female paradigm is with the female and the ones who support her, the ones either who use her to make a profit or those who are just devils and want to give her the power to be utterly destructive.
But hold on. I cannot blame just females. Because
you don't have the guts.
Can you let me finish?
Sure, go ahead.
Solution. That's what Tracy's talking about right there. You make some good points, but sometimes, man, your delivery sucks.
Dang.
I'm not being candid.
That's not being candid, baby. Because if you really change your delivery, we'll take it a whole lot more seriously. Because what you say, I agree with. I'm not fighting what you're saying.
I understand, but you don't agree with it till I bring the power to say it. The truth is power.
Again, if you can't tell me. I just said, how can you say I don't agree with it if I'm telling you I don't like your delivery? I'm not
telling
you
to forget that because that's trying
okay,
to.
Okay, let's go back to you. What I'm saying is, because I'm not going to, that's not going to, no. What's happening is you don't have a male in the house. If you don't
choose to have one in the house.
Shut up.
See, you're being a bitch, Tracy.
See, that's why your mic is off.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. You can't call my show and call. My mama don't call me when that's an issue. You can hang up because you won't be back on today. I have an issue with that. If you don't have a man in the house raising the children, raising the young people, having the cohabitation of relationship with a father and a mother in the house, you get a disorder outside the house when they grow up.
Yeah,
and so
you do.
You get dysfunction, and the dysfunction breeds dysfunction, and it continues to perpetuate the dysfunctionality of what's going on. So I don't know how to go out and choose a man, be around a man, because I've never been in the presence of a man for them to be actually a role model for me as a woman or a man as a child. And there is a problem right there.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Alex.
What you're saying is correct. But, you know, I think that a lot of this arises from not, you know, like so many other things in America, when the government gets involved with things, there's always unintended consequences. And the things that basically what the government has done has created these unintended consequences that allows men and women, or I should say, allows women to not have to deal with a man. But if the government would, you know, retract most of its tentacles, you know, I understand, like, sometimes, like, when it comes to domestic law and child support and things, like, you know, if a man leaves a woman just destitute, you know, that's really what those laws were meant for, but it's been abused over the decades. But it's gotten to the point where now a woman does not even have to deal with the man anymore. You know, a woman can just go down to, you know, the child support office and say, I want my child support.
No, she can get it. No. See, you gotta, I'm trying to tell my brothers, and I try to tell young people, especially those that are in college and those that they don't understand, that this has become a game to a lot of people. to where, you know, if you marry the right brother at the right time and have a child, you're set for life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a check coming in for 18 years, and you have no accountability over the check that you get. I don't think that's right.
Well, and that's because of the government, you know, and so because now the government's made it so the woman doesn't have to have accountability, you know, and that's what's wrong. The government's made it such that a woman can just collect a check from a man, basically just gaffle a man for his money, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know.
And Jerry, on the backside of that, this is a little known fact. If she happens to marry that man and divorces him, and she decides to sit on her butt until she turns 65, if she's married to him for more than 10 years, guess what?
Got alimony.
She can collect his Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and half of all any retirement accounts that he has, and it's until she remarries. And I've known so many women who divorced, had boyfriends for, you know, 17 years or longer, and don't marry because they don't want to lose those benefits
don't
from
marry.
The previous marriage. So now the man that she used to be married to is not only paying for her, but also her new boyfriend. You know,
this is the issue. We have allowed this to happen, and it affects our community greatly. And it's coming to its demise. And when I talk about, when I say this, you know, what causes women to be infuriated to where they hate men and where they go after men, it's people that talk like solutions. That's an issue. That's an issue. Because there's nothing like a woman scorned. So when they're mad at you, they come after you instead of trying to work with you because of conversations like that. Because that's unnecessary.
Yeah, it is.
And
I want to commend you for holding your composure with that, because
you know, don't you?
Yeah, I was like, when the B word flew out of his mouth, I knew it was going to be on. I was ready to write a letter to the FCC.
No. Today's my birthday. You can't go to jail on your birthday, especially on a long weekend.
I thought you was about to just pop off. I'm like, oh, you might as well write a check for that fine for the FCC.
Hey, Alex, that would have been our birthday present to us. Yeah.
No, you got to woo-saw. I'm better. You know, I've become a better person.
Wow.
I've become a better person because you don't understand. I woo-saw. God is good. You know, I got to give God. This was a life-changing moment, and I found it. But seriously, this is because when we look at fathers, we have I got this from you, South Carolina, because when you first called in, you talked about the emasculating of the male and the feminizing of America.
Oh, yeah.
And when we look at the emasculating of the male and the feminizing of America, whether it be our churches, whether it be our community, whether it be our homes, if you look at the situation and take off the blinders, and this is not a black thing. It may have happened in the black community first, but it has spread over into the white community now.
Definitely.
And what it's doing is it is causing our children to be dysfunctional because I, as a child, need to have a father. Not an uncle who acts as a father, but my daddy. I need my daddy because he can only speak to the seed in which he produced and make it what it's supposed to become. But he can't do that if he's been emasculated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the funny thing, one of the things that women get mad about, and they don't understand it, is for the dynamics we were talking about with the system, is how a man can have a child or one or more children with a woman. They, you know, they have a falling out, so she puts him, you know, on child support or whatever. And so then he ends up getting with another woman that already has children, and he takes better care of those other children than his own. And people don't realize it. They don't understand that. Women don't understand how a man can do that. But the fact of the matter is that if he's in that home and he's you know, he's actually a man and a father figure to those children, he's going to respond. But if you remove the man from the situation and you don't even have to deal with him, you're just taking his money, doing whatever you want to do, you do what you want, whatever you want to do with his children without, you know, consulting him, then he's not going to feel like a father. He would, and it's a charade, it's a farce, and the system wants men to pretend to be daddies when they when the system has chopped his balls off, you know. And so a lot of times what you'll see is a man will actually be more of a father to another woman's children
than he is to his own. I mean, I talked
yeah,
to a young lady, and she said there she has a man, and then women need to understand. Nobody wants to come and see about their children and you create drama. There's a TV show on that Tyler Perry does called Why Did I Get Married?
Yeah.
And what he did was he simulated a guy who had children outside of his marriage, and there was so much drama that it's kind of hard to deal with the drama. No one wants to deal with that.
Right.
When they come to see about their baby, their children, I've seen, and I'm not picking on women today, but I've seen women pick fights with their baby daddy because he's moved on.
Oh yeah.
And see, because men have it easier on moving on emotionally than women do.
I don't, you know, sometimes, but I know a lot of men who are really. Who take it really hard. Society really is not paying attention to the mental health, especially of black men, but men in general, when it comes to this. Like, men, I've known quite a few men when it comes to this, men fall into depressions over this, but they're forced to deal with it silently. Like, people don't understand that because they can't. A lot of men would rather take their children with them, but they're not allowed to.
Why can't they not?
Hey, Tracy, can I?
Yeah.
Can I
go ahead.
Now, okay, what happened with me? Because I've been divorced. I got, you know, my girls and everything. And what happened was, I went to court, and actually, you know, fought for my girls. But the judge, you know, he said that even though that I could, you know, I could provide a better life financially for them, he felt that the girls would be better off with their mother. A child needs their mother. Even though all the evidence was there that I would have been the better parent for them, you know, so she didn't shut me all the way out. He just gave us joint custody with her, the primary custody being with her. But, you know, it was situations where I would go to pick my kids up at a designated time, and it got so bad, Tracy, that I had to take the police with me. I called the police ahead to make sure that my kids were where they were supposed to be when it came time for me to pick them up.
That's what I'm saying.
She would deliberately not be there.
See, that's
know,
what I'm saying.
And deliberately
see,
not tell me stuff, you know?
Women, that goes back to gender roles and how we do things differently. I, as a woman, because I'm dealing with emotional pain, I'm out to hurt you, and I'm trying to hurt you in any way that I can. And I'll use anything that I can to hurt you, including my children.
And they do it. I mean, women cut men really deep.
But see,
and
men don't react the way that we would want you to.
But she messes
but the thing
it up.
About it, though,
she messes
Tracy,
it up for the next woman, though.
Right, and what it does is particularly for the longest time here in South Carolina, all it took, Tracy, was an allegation. He hit me, and that's just recently changed here in South Carolina. All she had to do is say, "He hit me," and she better not have a bruise, a scratch, or anything on her. If she did, they gonna take you to jail and lock you up. And they're going to charge you with criminal domestic violence. That puts you in that violence registry, and you got to stay in that for the rest of your life. It means that if you have a gun, you can no longer own a gun, and so on and so forth. I mean, it really puts you at a disadvantage. You know, and what man? What see? When my thing was when I deal with my ex on a hello and goodbye basis to this day because of that reason.
But you guys don't understand, and this is we have to understand. Women, our emotions kick in. 205, your mic is on, but our emotions kick in, and our you know when we get hurt, we can't fight you, and we don't know how to get back at you. For whatever cause the breakup is, a lot of times we didn't know how to deal with you because of our own self-esteem and our own issues anyhow. We didn't know what to do with you when we had you. And so we actually pushed you out a lot of times. And I'm not saying, and girls, I'm not trying to say that men are always right and women are always wrong. But a lot of times we push you into another person's arms not knowing that we did it. All man wants is Delilah's lap. That's all he wants. And he doesn't want a whole lot of stress and a whole lot of drama, but we don't know how to deal with that. And when you hurt us because we love you, we just don't know what to do with the love that we have or how to show you. Again, it goes back to our own issues. And we push you somewhere. You go there. You hurt us. All we want to do is hurt you back. And men, you guys may not hold on to the emotion like we do because you guys move on. Women, your girls, women don't get to move on that fast. Even if we want to move on, we can't move on that fast because we don't have the options out there to move on to. So now you have moved on. You've got another girl who I see you with, and now I hate you because you've moved on.
But Tracy, men move on because in our minds it's like, okay, we've done everything we can do, and to us it's like, 1 + 2 = 3, and so once we get to 3, okay, that's it. We're done. Bye bye. See you later. And we're not coming back.
But see, I can't move on.
That's just logical in our mind.
But see, I can't move on. And when I say I can't move on emotionally, and I can't move on usually naturally, because there's nowhere for women to move. Because remember, we don't have enough men out there. 310, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy. Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks. Hey, thanks, Sam. How are you?
All right. So now you're 28.
Yeah.
Okay. Tracy, I would say there are men out there, you know, as I say, about a year and a half ago, out of 10 black women, 10 black men, 9 still marry black women. So there's men, black men out there and all that stuff.
The ratio has diminished. We got to be real about this. There may be men out there, but you got to understand they're gay, they're taken, they're incarcerated, or they're not working. Just because they're a male does not mean that they're a man. There are not a lot of men out there.
Tracy, I hear all the time there's a black male shortage, and like I said, that 92.8% of black men still marry black women.
Sam, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they're married. By the time you get in your relationship, you're there for 3 years. You're at least 25, 28 years old. And the older you get, the lesser the pull because those men are either gay, they're incarcerated, they're not working, or they're married.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Tracy. I think that gay number is you know, they've done surveys and it's like less than 2% of the population is actually gay.
Exactly.
You're
exactly.
Right. I agree.
So,
but listen, you missed my look at my equation, Alex.
It's overemphasized though.
No. Listen, Alex, my equation was they're
Alex.
Gay, they're married.
2% of the population, but what you said is 1% of them are black. Is that what you're saying, Tracy?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that they're all gay, but I'm saying they're incarcerated. Come on, you know how many black men are incarcerated today? We know
more
that, but did you hear what I said? There's still more women in population than there are men.
Is more women. But I think part of the problem is with the relationships is the black females don't know how to act in a marriage or don't know how to relate to their husbands.
That's what I said.
The marriage is to break up.
I said that part. What I said was, by the time I get through my relationship and have this child, by the time I get back free again, a man can move on to another woman more quickly than I can to another man.
Hey, Tracy, let me ask you something. Are you willing to date a man who has a prior felony?
No. That's Tracy.
That wasn't me. Who's that? 205?
That was me. Yeah, that's me. No, I won't.
I don't know. Alex, I don't know. I can't say no.
Because most women, a lot of women automatically discriminate if a man has a felony. And what we don't realize is that people praise like Bill Clinton as the best president, even called him the first black president, all that nonsense. But don't realize that under his presidency, almost a million black men were incarcerated. And so over 70% of all incarcerated black men are in for nonviolent drug-related, marijuana-related charges. Now, just really think about that, how you've destroyed these men's lives. They come out with a felony, and all because of some weed, now they can't get a job. They can't live in certain communities, apartment communities. They won't rent to them because, they have felonies on their records. And they just really think about that. And so
Absolutely right. And that's actually the reason I won't date someone with a felony, because I have to be realistic. I'm 44. Do I really want to get involved with someone that I know probably won't be able to get a job, probably won't be able to live in certain neighborhoods, probably they're going to have all of these issues that they're going to bring with them. Not just because he had that one discretion.
But let me say this. I can't say, because it depends on what, who he is.
It sounds good until the mortgage has to be paid.
No. I don't mean that. I'm not saying, because I've got friends who have prior felonies, and I love them to death, and they're my friends, and I will do anything for them, and it's okay. It all depends on the situation and the person and the man. I don't want to judge him on my past discretion. Just like I asked you guys, would you guys date men who had children or women who had children?
But also, I think if a person has been incarcerated, it depends on whether they have really started to change their life and gotten out of that old lifestyle.
But again,
and if the person has done that, sometimes you can find that person is a better husband, because they not only have the intelligence, but the person may be street smart in ways that other men aren't.
I've got friends, who have been incarcerated, who have come out of the penal system and have become productive citizens. Even though it's difficult, they've overcome the obstacles of having a felony. The question, it all depends on that man, on that person.
Yeah, right.
I look at Rock, the actor. He had a prior felony, and was incarcerated. Right. I mean, it all depends on what you're doing. But see, by the time you get to my age of the game, if you're just coming out of the penal system, then we need to have the conversation. We got to have a conversation.
Exactly.
Because I'm in my late 40s. Hey, you ought to be past that. Something ought to be going on. You might have a felony, but you ought to have a business or something.
And that's what I was about to say. I think there's a difference when you're 25 and you're looking for a mate, and then the things that you look for when you're 45. Because if you're 45 and if I meet a man that's 45 and he's just now saying, I'm going to go back to school, things that you should have been saying at 25, then I'm going to be a little more hesitant.
Because I'm single still, I'm not looking for a man looking for a family.
Exactly. There's an article called Why Men Marry Some Women and Not Others. It's called The Marrying Kind.
Right.
It says the 6 basic guidelines for women to get married. You can look it up. The guy named John T. Malloy. I can have it sent to you on Facebook.
Do that for me, please.
Yeah, they said by the time a man gets after 37, the chances of him committing drops dramatically. By the time he gets in his 40s, it's even drops even faster, and so forth. So the older a man gets, the less likely he wants to commit. That's not true in all situations, but the stats don't lie.
But when we're looking at fatherhood, I'm not looking for a father anymore. I'm not looking for a man who's going to be a great dad.
Right.
So all that changes. And when we're talking about lack of fathers, I'm looking at how his children have turned out, and did he have a play in his child's life?
Yes.
Because, see, I look at that. If I see a man and he has nothing to do with his kids, I've got issues.
Well, I would say don't automatically judge a man for that. Because
why?
There are so many reasons why men don't have relationships with their children. You
exactly.
know,
y'all.
It's just so many reasons that, again, you know, has to do with the woman that he initially laid down with. And honestly, if a woman does not want a man to have a good relationship with his kids, he won't have one. And it's as simple as that. Y'all can say whatever you want to say, but a woman has that power, especially over boys, because boys love their mamas more than their daddies.
But I'm the kind of person that I want a strong enough man that he's willing to fight for his family.
That's all fine
about
and good.
Tracy, if he fights with his family, the deck is stacked against him. I mean, really,
doesn't
it's
matter.
Really stacked against him.
It doesn't matter. Are you willing? A man, and listen, I expect, and maybe I may be euphoric in my thought process, but I think a man ought to fight for his children. And if he has to fight that mother, because and that's what a man does. A man says, I'm not going to allow anything to come between me and my children, because
well,
that's
Tracy,
my seed.
Listen, a judge can say, yes, I am going to come between you and your kids, and there's only so much you're going to do. And if you don't do what I say, I'm going to lock you up.
Child support is one thing, but you still...
But after
a while, you ought to be able to go, because, I mean, yeah, the woman has more power, but a father and a relationship can push past to make at least you have some relationship with your child. But when you meet a man who's 55 years old and he has no relationship with his children, that should be a problem.
One thing that we have to stop and think about, we're asking these blunt questions as if these things exist in a vacuum, and they don't. Usually, if you have a man that does not have certain things, if he doesn't have a relationship with his children, if there's a problem there, he's not going to be perfect in every other way except he doesn't have a relationship with his kids.
Right.
Usually there's
right.
going to be a reason why. If it's something negative. Now, granted, the wife may have stepped in. She may be causing problems, but you'll see that. You'll be able to tell if he's legit or if he's just telling you, well, you know, because I've met so many men that will tell me.
You're breaking up.
You won't let me do this.
You're breaking up.
Okay. I might have to call back.
Okay.
But the thing is, all of these things don't happen in a vacuum. You can't just say, well, he doesn't, you know, well, he was incarcerated, you know, so is that a problem? Yes and no. Because as the gentleman said earlier, has he changed his life? Is he still doing certain things? And the only thing he can say is, well, you know, that was my past. But I'm sitting here looking at everything about him, and I haven't seen anything different. You know, so it's not that these things don't happen in a vacuum. Usually there's a pattern that you can sit back and watch. And if he has an issue with his children, does he have an issue with his brothers and sisters? Does he have an issue with his mother and father? What is his relationship with his friends? What are those things like? Does he keep a job? So there's usually a whole series of things. He's not going to have a problem in one small area and that thing not affect everything else going on with him.
Yes, you've got a point there. It's the same thing with women.
Can't you see, women do a lot of dissecting of men, and a lot of it is unfair.
What do you mean?
I'm going to tell you why, because y'all look at a man's past, but, you know, if a man starts digging into your past, then you got a problem. You know, about the things that you used to do. And so, and you find this a lot, like women will hold potential men to such rigorous standards that if a man had, you know, the same level of standards, they couldn't even pass.
And it's just so ridiculous. And sometimes I wonder if women just want to be single and they just want to complain about men, if they just do that on purpose. Because
the problem is most of the time we've been hurt, and because we've been hurt, we have this checklist.
Well,
you know, yeah. Oh my God,
that's not our issue.
Pardon?
The fact that you've been hurt is not our issue. We didn't have anything to do with that.
Doesn't matter.
You're holding that against us, and that's not fair. Sure. But you wanna hold us to a standard that you're not even willing to hold yourself to.
Exactly.
That's not right.
In American culture, women have been taught to look at men as evil and diabolical, whereas in other cultures, men are not looked upon that way. Only here in American Anglo culture, and so forth. So the deck is stacked against men, and so forth. I ask a woman certain things. She's not being transparent. I'm transparent. She's not transparent. She's more clandestine, cloak and dagger. I can't deal with that. I'm 41 years old, so I have to look other places for women who will be more receptive to me in my situation, who will take me at face value. I don't see it no more here in America. So I'm looking up abroad. We're going abroad.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I think that's an issue across the board. I think that people, both male and female, tend to be clandestine. I mean, I don't see my, you know, I've been single now for 2.5 years, and I was married for 18. And now that I'm out here dating, I don't have any skeletons in the closet. My children are grown. I'm just out here trying to, you know, I enjoy my life. I work. I have my own stuff. I'm not looking for anybody to take care of children or pay for anything. But when I come to a relationship or a friendship with that, and I'm just saying, hey, let's enjoy it, and let's just go to dinner, or let's just go here, or whatever, the other person, they usually have all this stuff that they're dealing with. And so you can't just do that. And they want to pretend that there's something else that they're not, because they want, I guess they're buying their time, maybe, trying to get you to like them, and then thinking once they come out with all this stuff, then you'll overlook it. I don't know what it is. But I think that's just the way it is.
It's American culture. It's American culture. This is the only culture that really does that, America. You go to Europe, everything's more open. You know, men and women don't have these major issues, especially in Anglo culture. Once you get out of Anglo culture, you're better off. You know, the UK isn't as bad as America. America's the worst. Because everybody's so individualistic. There's no shared struggles anymore. There's no solidarity.
Why can't there not be?
Once you start talking about unity and we're working together, then what that means is when someone else decides to go out there and do something, I have to pay for it. It leaves me vulnerable. It leaves me screwed up. When me and my ex split, because I made more money, because of circumstance, I'm left with all the bills. How fair is that? And so can I afford to be with someone else now that maybe doesn't have much? We get together. All of a sudden, he decides he wants to go another direction. Now I'm left with his problems. Do I want to do that? Well, I'm just trying to enjoy my life now. I'm not asking anything from anyone. And so my tendency is I want to make sure he's stable and he can take care of him so that I won't have to worry about carrying another two or three other people's burdens as we go along.
Let me ask you this. Now, do you have children?
They're grown, yes.
Okay. Do you have girls?
I have one, yes.
How's her view on looking for a man?
Well, she's married.
Okay, so she's married.
But what was her criteria?
What was her criteria for looking for her spouse?
How was it different than
when you were coming up? Because see, and when you're 40, it's different than when you're 20.
Right.
But a lot of our sins at 40 fall onto our children at 20.
Maybe. Her thing now has been she wanted someone that was going to love her for her, that she could love, and that they were going to work together and build something. And that is what they have been doing. They don't have any children yet, but so far they seem to have an okay relationship. Now, whether or not that's the case, I'm not in the house. I'm not wanting to get into their marriage and all of that. So, but from what I understand, they seem to be doing okay.
But I'm just saying, you know, when we look at, because when we look at our children, because see, I look at, you know, I'm 40, so what I'm looking at now, but when we're looking at father, and we were talking about fatherhood. We've gotten into a relationship, but we were talking about fatherhood. As I said, I'm not looking for anybody who is for a father of my children. Don't look at me now. Absolutely not. But I want to know what kind of man were you with your children, because that'll tell you what kind of man you are. Because what's happening now is there's a bunch of men out there, and if you are divorced, if you don't have a relationship with your children, then what kind of father were you?
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, we say, well, a lot of times, you know, you guys say, well, you know, women and the divorce and all make it hard. But you got to realize there's a lot of men that just ran from their responsibility. I know one. One was called my daddy.
Yeah.
And so.
I had a great relationship with my dad. But I didn't have. And I think that was part of my problem, because I expected someone. My dad was dependable, so I expected the man that I would be with to be completely dependable. And even now, my tendency is, if a guy asks me on a date, I'm expecting that he's going to pay. And that's not necessarily true. You know, now I expect that, you know, if I walk up to a door and I'm with a man, I'm expecting he's going to open the door. That's not necessarily true. So I'm learning a whole lot about how men are as a whole, that each one is completely different, and you're flipping a coin. Each time you go out with one, you just don't know what you're going to get, and you have to take them at face value.
Hey, guys, are we asking too much? As women?
In this culture, yeah. Because this is America. You know, everybody's a sense of entitlement, major sense of entitlement. You know, because everything's capitalist. So women demand this, they demand that. Some guys can't do it. Some guys got to go overseas to find a woman who are more sensible.
So as a woman, as a 44-year-old woman, what should I expect, how should I expect a man to be?
Yeah.
If you were giving me five things, if you were taking at face value, no, what should I expect from him? If I say I'm looking for a potential mate, what should I say? Okay, these are the things I need to look for if I want someone in a potential mate. Should I even remotely expect or even think about the fact that I want someone that's going to be faithful? Should that even be an option?
Are you going to be faithful?
That's my intention, yes.
Oh, then that's what you put out there is the same standard that you hold for yourself. You should hold it for your mate, and that's the thing that we run into. However, you have to understand that men are men and women are women, and we're different. There's some things that women hold as important that men don't even care about or even look at. You know, some things you just assume that are going to be there that we don't even pay any attention to, and you have to let us know. One of the things is say what you mean what you say, and let the man know exactly what you're talking about. Because y'all speak in y'all speak in tongues sometimes. We can't figure out what the heck you're talking about.
There you go. We don't speak in tongues. You just don't be listening.
Dude. No, but Tracy, something just came. I just got this in an email. You're gonna love this. The president just signed an executive order giving federal workers a pay increase, or lifting the pay freeze. He just signed an executive order that lifts the pay freeze for federal employees.
No.
Essentially giving all federal workers a pay increase. And then the Weekly Standard, signed yesterday, the 27th of December. So you see, he's got to have revenue. Yeah.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
You know, to get back to your question about if y'all asking for too much, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've heard several women, you know, facetiously say, looking at the first family in the country, you know, a president saying, you know, well, where's my Barack Obama?
I have two.
But the thing that they don't reflect on is whether or not they are a Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And because when Michelle got with him,
she was, you know, on paper doing better than he was. And so she was able to see the potential in this man. And most women today are not willing to do that. You got to have it all together already. Or sorry, bye bye. And that's the culture of entitlement that we are breeding. You know, women feel so entitled that they feel that they are entitled to a good man. Sometimes you have to make yourself a good man. You know.
Did you say make me a man? Come on now. Absolutely I found out. There's one thing that women need to stop trying to do. For some reason, we get married and we get a relationship and we really think we can change you guys. You are who you are. And well, changing y'all is not happening.
No, you have to look at a man's core values, okay? Men will respond to the requirements that you put on him. And real men, that's what they do. Now, I'm not saying, like, dysfunctional behavior. Like, you're not going to change dysfunctional behavior that he has. But I'm talking about if he, at the core, he's a good person, you know, hardworking, and, you know, whatever, you know, the core values that you appreciate. Maybe he's intellectual, whatever, he's good with his hands, whatever that is. But what I'm saying is that a man, you know, I believe that most men, as long as they're not abusive or whatever, all men are good men. But they just may not be good for you. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And so if y'all really click and he really appreciates you, a man will do what, you know, is required to keep you happy. And it's as simple as that. You know, but if you just got to have it all together, you're going to be by yourself for a long time. It's as simple as that. You know,
but isn't that certain stages of the game? Come on now, because I'm serious, Alex.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When
no.
you get to my age, do you really think I'm supposed to be a 50-year-old trying to get you to get right?
No. Well, what is get right though? I mean,
you ought not have. I mean, you may make less than me, or you may. You probably can't do that. But you may not. It'd be kind of hard because I don't make no money.
Well, see, that's crazy. Because, see, you know, my wife had the same list, and I almost broke up with her when I first saw it. Because she – this is before, you know, obviously before we got married. Because I couldn't believe – well, I did believe it, but it's so ridiculous to me. It's one of the things in her list was minimum income. And it's like, wait a minute, you don't even make this.
Minimum income?
Exactly. I have a question about that. So if I give a guy a minimum income that is lower than my income, is that acceptable to have? If everything I ask of a man, I am already doing or I already have, is that acceptable?
You're saying it's lower than what you make?
No,
yeah.
What I'm saying is because right now I don't ask not one thing from a man that I do not have or that I'm not doing. And what I'm wondering is that fair?
Well, yeah, because it's like this. Most women, especially over 40, if you don't have any kids and you're over 40-something, most women are more realistic. Most women who never had kids and who got master's and doctor degrees, if she's making 80 grand, 100 grand, she expects him to make same amount, because women tend to go up or sideways, not down.
No, but see, that's what I'm saying. Now, if you're making $40,000 and I'm making $80,000, that's something. But
right.
Two broke folk can't go nowhere fast.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what, you know. But here's the thing: if you have that kind of mentality from the beginning, anything can happen during the course of the relationship, which makes you potentially, you know, not a suitable mate for him, because you know if you may be just too superficial for him. Because what happens?
That's not superficial.
No. Yes. What happens often enough, and I can tell you, you know, I don't know if you know, but you know, in my family, a particular woman, she's a nurse, and she makes six figures.
Okay.
But when she first married her husband, she wasn't making six figures. All he did was load trucks for Pepsi Cola.
Okay.
Now he made good money.
you know, $15-$20 an hour, good money, you know. But over the years now, she has over 10 years of experience as a nurse with a master's degree. You know, now she's a nurse practitioner and all this. Now she thinks she ain't got to listen to him. And actually, they're divorced now because she didn't think, you know, because she's making more money.
But
she's
now money.
Wearing the pants.
But now, wait a minute. Money does not define position. That's something that we as women need to understand. Money does not define the position. If I marry you and I make less or whatever, that doesn't define who wears the pants in the house. And we need to get past that if we think it does.
But
what I'm saying,
it does for many women, though. It does for many women, and the woman won't respect you if you don't make more than them. A woman will not respect you as a man. Many women will not respect a man if he, as a man, head of the household, with that title and all the esteem and respect that comes with it, if he is not making more money than she is.
But see,
and that's the problem.
Live in American culture, the brother's telling the truth. This culture, more than any culture, does that. America.
No, because you can marry less. The question is, will the man, sometimes men don't man up when they make less. I'm not saying, we're not saying all, but I'm saying a lot of men don't man up because they have issues when they don't make more. And see, let me put it this way. What happens is, I will support a man while he's going to school. And I think this is where a lot of men don't understand that women have been burnt. And a man will get through school. They will support them while they go through school, while they're going through whatever they go through. And when they get to where they're going, I'm not good enough for you. Ask OJ's ex-wife.
Marguerite, yeah, I know her. Yeah, I know her personally. Yeah. But like I said, Trey, that's a certain example. If most men, as the brother said, are starter husbands. I was a starter husband. So that's why I don't deal in America no more.
But you didn't get burnt. But again, we have to be honest. A lot of women have gotten burnt, and that's what's wrong. That we got too many burnt folks trying to become a family because we haven't dealt with our own burns. We haven't let them heal. Because when you make less than me, and I marry you, and you're making $20,000 a year, and I'm making $50,000 a year. I support you, everything that you do, to help you get to where you're going so that we can have a nice, comfortable life. You get to $90,000 a year, and now I'm not good enough to be your wife. I got issues.
It goes both ways. It goes whether or not the man's helping the woman or the woman's helping the man. I think there's a problem there, if it goes one way or the other. Because I've seen men that were with women and helped them go to school, and he worked at a plant somewhere. Now all of a sudden he's not good enough for her. And I've seen women do the exact same thing.
Exactly.
So it's wrong no matter who's
it's
doing
it. It's our culture. It's an individual, and it's our culture.
But it becomes a challenge to me, though. Because if I know, because like for me, I do okay. I'm doing pretty okay. And, you know, now I'm out here dating, and the question becomes, how big of a deal do I want to make? Because, as I said before, it's not that these things happen in a vacuum. Because if I meet a guy that's, let's say, making $15,000 a year, the first thing that comes into my mind is why? Because that's the real question. This man is 45 and 50. He's making $15,000, $20,000 a year. Is it because this is a particular work that he believes in, and so he's sacrificing to do it? Is it because he doesn't care, and so he's out partying? Is it because he hasn't had opportunity? I mean, what is it? I mean, it's not just he's not just randomly making $20,000. Did he drop out of high school? Does he know how to read? I mean, what's going on with him? And you have to look at all of that stuff before you can make a decision. Because I'm the one. If there's somebody with a dream, I have 10 of them. We'll all work together and make all our lives come true. If you are willing to work as a man, I'm the one right there with you. The problem is guys will talk a lot of stuff, and women do it too, talk about what their dreams are. Then when they get with somebody that's ready to say, you know what, let's make this happen, all of a sudden it's,
she got a point there, guys. For real.
No, she don't.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Because, you know, as you know, relationships are like politicians. They will lie.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I've rarely seen a man say, you know what, you're not making enough money. I mean, men go down all the time. And that just never happens.
I'm not saying the guy tells the woman she doesn't make enough money, but I've seen relationships where he will send the woman to school and she will make more money. All of a sudden, he's not good enough. Or I've seen relationships where the woman
is
out of school and then all of a sudden, the guy's not good enough. So that's what I was talking about, not whether or not somebody says, well, you don't make enough money, so I don't want to be with you.
Tracy, most women in America don't settle. Men tend to settle more than women.
No, guys, you
don't understand how many bad habits that men put up with, you know, with y'all. Just,
what are
you
talking about?
Tracy, he's not lying.
Come on, guys.
Tell you the truth.
Oh, man,
In most cases, I think
men look for something different. It's not that men settle or don't settle. They're just looking for something different. Because if you've got a guy that wants a woman that weighs 140 pounds with a big butt, you can best believe he's not about to settle with a 250-pound woman with no butt. The reason that they settle don't care about women that make less is because they don't really care about that. That's not what they're looking for anyway. Women are big about money. Why? Because that's what they want. Women are less likely to deal. They're not worried about what a guy looks like as much, although some of them do.
Hold on, I think South Carolina jumped in before you, Alice. Go ahead, Sal.
If you tell the truth about why women are so concerned with money, it goes to their core. Women need and desire security. And they think because a man has a bunch of money or he's making a big, big chunk of change, then that's going to give them a secure life. Well, it don't work that way.
Now, let me throw this in here before I let Alex jump in. Listen to this. What women, and I can only speak for myself because, you know, we're talking in generalities, but for me, I want a man that I can take him at his word. So when I say that, when he says it's going to be okay, I need to trust him enough to go to sleep and know he's going to do his best to make it right. That's the security that I'm looking for.
Do you force your man like many women do? Do you force your man to lie to you?
No.
Because that happens a lot.
I need to trust you enough that you care about me enough that you're going to make it, you're going to do whatever it takes so that I'm secure as a woman. That's what we want. Now, we may have equated it to money because we're superficial, and society, as Sam says, society has made it that way.
Gold diggers.
Society has made that money is our security when it's really not. But what I need to trust you enough so I can respect you enough. And that's what we've taken out of the whole equation of relationships. We've taken trust and respect. When a woman no longer trusts her man, she becomes the man of that house.
Well, it started with the feminist movement 2.0.
Sam, I got to let Alex in because he was before you. Then I'll pick you up. You next. Go ahead, Alex.
I just want to say real quick about, you know, y'all don't think men settle when y'all think, well, men want to see, like, you know, they're more about the physical or whatever. I know so many men that marry a woman, and, you know, sometimes it's because of kids, sometimes it's not. But, you know, women would gain a whole bunch of weight, how often do you see guys who are relatively in good shape, and they're with women who are a lot larger than them, and women and a lot of men stick in there, you know?
But do you realize that the metamorphosis of a woman, and a lot of times it happens for a lot of things, a lot of ways that make women gain weight. But when you look at men get that pot belly, men, they, you know, they are as supportive around the home as they could and should be. Now, there are some, and I'm not saying all, but they just don't show up. Yeah, you cut the grass, but as far as I've got two kids, and And women need from a man. And a lot of times men think that sex is the need that women need, and that's not what they need. They need them. And because they don't have them, it causes them to be the way they are.
Okay. Well, y'all need that
Tracy,
too now.
Tracy.
Don't get me wrong. No, Alex, you're right. But we don't need it in the same way as
Tracy.
You do. Because we need to
Tracy.
Have, yeah, Sal.
You were speaking in tongues just now.
No, I wasn't.
You said y'all need us. You know, you said y'all need us. Okay? Now, Alex, and who, I don't know who else is on the line, you got to explain to me, when you say you need me, what in the hell are you talking about? Do you need me to sit there on the couch and be beside you? Do you need me to take out the trash? Do you need me to talk to you?
No, we need
you. English to me.
Okay, English, South Carolina. We need you emotionally. Remember, we're emotional creatures.
You still got to explain that to me.
South Carolina, I can't.
I'm being serious. I'm talking.
She wants you to affirm her. But let me break it down simply. That would be a whole other show that we need to do, and that we really need to do that with some other women in the room, so we can have this great conversation with different experiences. But when we say that we need you, I need to have confidence in you so that you will make me feel as though and I can be across the room and I'm the only woman that you're thinking about in your mind.
Oh, boy.
Okay. now you're trying to get in my head. That's not going to happen.
No. 205, am I getting that close enough?
I understand exactly what you're trying to say. And from my viewpoint, what I need from a man, I need to know that I'm not in that relationship by myself. So, case in point, I had an experience with someone that I was dating where, you know, I'm living life out here. It's not just all about going out to dinner and having fun. But, you know, he happened to be at my house one day, and my hot water heater burst. And he was just standing there looking at me. And I'm thinking, okay, he wants to be in this relationship. He wants to be the man. Help me. And so, he's just sitting there and falls. You know, I go down there and I'm calling my son. He comes. He starts pushing, goes and turns off the water, starts pushing water out. And so after we're halfway done, he's like, okay, well, I'll get a broom and help. And it's like, you know, if there's something going on, he's going to be there. If there's a piece of paper in the yard, you know, are you going to pick it up? Or do I have to say, would you do
that? But that's not.
See, I don't agree with. When I say I need you, when I say that, you don't.
I'm not
you,
just talking
what,
about
what I'm saying.
I'm talking about.
When I say that, I'm saying that, you know, you're gonna. I don't have to. If you are a man, you may not be a plumber, and so I don't want you to take apart my water heater.
But I do want you to
get on the phone, and call the water heater man, because you know
that's
you can't fix
point.
The water heater.
That's my point. Don't just be here. Don't just be here for the good times. Be here. If I'm picking out a patio set, want to be there, we can, you know, bounce ideas off each other. If I'm trying to figure out how to deal with an issue, whatever life is bringing at me, I don't want to feel like, you know, I'm sitting here pouring my heart out because of something that happened at work. And he's, And don't
well,
care. Because then I'm like, well, why are you here with me?
If you want a metrosexual guy, they out there. You want that type of guy, baby face type of guy, they out there. But if,
I don't
you know,
want that. I don't want a metrosexual. I just want a man.
Okay.
Well,
hold on. 269, your mic is on.
Let me first say happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michigan man.
Now, let me translate what Tracy was saying for all the brothers. They don't know what in the hell they want.
That's not what I said.
Thank you.
That's not what I said. When I say that, I'm talking about I trust you. I need a man that I trust. When I say I need you because I trust you. So when you tell me I'm going to do something, I trust that whatever you said at your word, you're going to do. If you tell me that, listen, if all the lights are out in the house and we ain't got no money, and you tell me, baby, I'm going to be here, I'm going to take care of it, I got this, I need to trust you at your word that you're going to do everything in your power to make sure the light's going to be back on before tomorrow.
No, I want to trust that if something happens to me, that if something happens to me and I'm in the hospital and he has to make decisions, whatever may come up, that he'll make the right decision. He knows relatively what to do in life. He's not just kind of here taking up space.
And I look at that differently. Again, I don't need a man to change the light bulbs in the house. Sure. I'm not that needy. But what I'm saying is, I need him to be there and to man up when it's time. When things go crazy, I need to make to know that he is going to have the back of the family, and I can trust him to have that back. And even if he makes a mistake, one thing I know as women that we have to learn how to do. Is quit saying you screwed up. But I need to know that you did your best to make it happen.
You know what?
So what you're saying is what you're saying is if you're with a guy and let's say you're married to a man, he doesn't clean up, he doesn't change light bulbs, he don't fix anything, he doesn't cut the grass, but he's there for you emotionally. You're okay with that. He don't pay.
No, you're missing my point. If he don't cut grass, if he's a man, he gonna get the grass cut. See, I don't care if you don't cut the grass. Because, see, I know some men that I got a relative. He can't screw a light bulb in with the directions on the side. That's not what he does. Don't stay away from the plumbing. Don't help. It's like Bill Cosby. Don't fix no toasters. Don't help. But you're going to make
same
a
thing.
Means to make it happen.
Whether he does it or whether he pays someone else to do it. But what I'm saying is I
don't need you to be Mr. Fix-It and not be there for us.
Tracy.
Yeah.
You and the sister need to be honest.
That is being honest.
And say this. What a woman wants and what she thinks she needs changes every 2 seconds.
No, that's not what I said.
Exactly.
That's what I said about you. You know what I'm saying about you, Michigan. That's not what I said.
It changes every 2 seconds.
No, because you got to understand, when you get to 48 and you've been single for a good span of that time, if there's a light bulb that needs change in my house right now, best I get my happy tail up on the ladder, but I know that you'll hold the ladder, so if I fall down, you'll catch me.
So why would you
now, right now, when
so
I fall down,
right,
I fall
right
down. When I fall down right now, guess what? All I hear is an echo because if I don't change the light bulb, but you can't be intimidated because I can change it.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know. It took me almost 6 months to train my wife to let me open the door for her.
Exactly.
Do you know why?
Yeah. But see, now the whole time we were dating, you know, we were dating, right? Oh, and talking to her on the phone and everything else. I like a man to open the door for me. I said, well, I get to where we're going. She can stop and open the door. I said, well, how are you going to expect me to open the door for you? You want a man to open the door for you.
Do you know why?
You don't even wait.
But do you know why? You want me to take? No, that's not why. She doesn't know how. No. She doesn't know how.
She wasn't properly trained.
No, it's not about being trained. If you married someone and they were in later in life, they've done it so often, they don't know how to let go and let somebody else do it for them because they've always had to do it for themselves.
And it's not the man's fault.
It's not your fault. It's the
fault. Are you
going to
be able to let go, Tracy?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I feel sorry for the man who ended up with
you. I don't know. And I can't say because, again, I've been single for so long, it's going to be difficult for me to let go because I've been doing, like I said, the Christmas Day, the light went out in the kitchen. So I had to go get a ladder, jump up on the ladder, to take the chandelier down, to put that dumb, because they can't have nothing that is normal anymore. You can't just screw it in. You got to pull it apart. Get back down the ladder, wash it out, put it back up, and then try to get it in because there was no one else there to do it. So now when I get married, how do I stop not doing it because I've done it for the last 20 years? That's the issue. It's not that I don't want someone to do it. The question is I've done it for so long, I don't know how not to do it.
I feel sorry for the brother.
That's bad.
You know what, Tracy, what the problem I see, though, most of the time.
What's that, Alan?
The problem I see most of the time, though, is you have so-called independent women, and they'll get with men. And see, the thing is that they don't want to relinquish their independence, but they still want the man to pay them.
Now, see, I'm not like that. I don't see that. I can't speak for anyone else. I'm talking about me. I'm not like that.
Do what for them?
Well, they want the man to come, you know, fix stuff that break, pay for them when they go out to eat and do all this stuff. But then when it comes down to, you know, any serious matters, then it's like, you ain't trying to listen to him. Listen, you know, you can't tell me what to do. You know, I'm a strong woman.
Listen,
you know?
I got to throw this. Wait a minute, South Carolina. I got to throw this in here. I got a guy on Facebook. White guy out that's from here, and he's one who knows amen, brother. So y'all, so this is not a cultural thing.
Well, it's an American thing. It's an American thing.
Well, Tracy,
go ahead, South Carolina, because I stopped you.
You know what? I'm going to say this because we're at the end of the day. I would love to have a show so black women can get on and define what in the world is a strong black woman.
A strong black man.
Strong black woman, because I'm tired of hearing it.
You want me to
tell
you
what? We're too
strong
in the
head. A strong black woman is one who knows how to submit. We just don't know it.
Oh boy.
I mean, seriously. If you really want to know what a strong black woman is, she knows how to flex her strength and how to submit when necessary.
South Carolina, you better have about 6 or 7 different exit doors. Because if you only got one exit door and you put all them room to them to figure the definition of that out, it's going to be trouble. You better have 5 or 6 different ways so they can get out of there and get some ass.
Black woman, try to find Bigfoot, Sasquatch, the unicorn. Doesn't really exist.
What? Y'all are wrong. No, seriously, y'all wrong. Y'all wrong. But we need to do that because we need to do it. We need to have a conversation about it. But what women have not learned, and because of society, we have not learned how to yield our will to our men and trust them. But men have not learned how to earn that trust to where I will let go and let him be who he is.
Like I said, it was a paradigm shift. 40 years ago, black men had more support from black women because of the paradigm shift.
And you're right.
Because, as the brother said, 20 years ago, a sister would support a brother having a dream, potential. And he's right. Nowadays, 2012.
That's not true. That's not true. You've got women out there. They just don't come in the package that you want. Because remember, you guys are very visual. We need to be honest about this. You guys and women are now so frustrated. They've frustrated themselves into obesity.
Yeah, she's 5'8", about 80 pounds.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But not even BBW get love now. They have clubs for BBW women now.
What?
All over the time. Yeah. Yeah. They have clubs. My friend of mine, he went to one here in Los Angeles. They have a club for BBWs.
What's BBW?
Big Beautiful Women.
Are you serious?
The problem is, yes.
I got it. I'll come back next week. We won't be back here, guys, until the new year, the 2nd. So enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your holiday. Be careful. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you in 2013. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's Tracey and Friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And while hope is slim, two GOP senators are confident that most of us will not see a tax hike.
Republican Senator Bob Corker says a middle-class tax cut extension is a given.
Either before the 31st or after, we know it's going to happen.
But he says trickier issues, entitlement reforms, remain. Fellow Tennessee Republican Lamar Alexander puts it this way.
We could tax all the rich people and cut their heads off, and it wouldn't help the Medicare fiscal cliff.
Corker says a short-term tax deal will represent a failure of leadership.
If we just continue to kick the can down the road with half measures, I think the market is going to respond in a more permanent and negative way.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
He's still in intensive care, but there's word that former President George H.W. Bush's condition is improving. Same-sex marriage will be legal in Maine starting at midnight. Portland Hall City spokesperson Nicole Clegg says they'll open at 12 a.m.
There are at least a few couples planning on coming in this evening to get marriage licenses and several who are planning on getting married by the city. We also know that there are a number of spectators that are going to be coming and having hot chocolate and various refreshments outside in front of City Hall.
Gay marriage is already legal in several states and the District of Columbia. The backlash against a baby recliner is growing.
Toys R Us and Amazon are among the retailers recalling more than 150,000 Nap Nanny baby recliners after at least five infants died and dozens were injured falling out of them. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has warned parents the devices pose a substantial risk because of a design defect. While the commission seeks a mandatory recall, four retailers, also including Bye Bye Baby and Diapers.com, are voluntarily pulling them off the shelves. Karen Chase, ABC News.
An Ohio college student has taken her Extreme Helicopter parents to court and won a restraining order against them. This is ABC News.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
Every flooring stock is on sale, and it all has to go at our end-of-year clearance. Get unheard-of clearance deals from just 19 cents a square foot, including first-quality laminates for up to 47% less, hardwood up to 48% less, bamboo flooring up to 22% less. Plus, get special extended financing. Hurry, sale is going on now. So get to your local store before it's too late. Visit LumberLiquidators.com today for the store near you.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby Pro. You pushed to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Smokers face more restrictions starting January 1st. ABC's Scott Goldberg says that a number of towns and workplaces across the country are enacting new rules.
Lighting up these days takes some serious effort. If you work at 3M's headquarters in St. Paul, Minnesota, you'll have to drive half a mile to a strip mall in the new year because smoking will be banned everywhere on the corporate campus. State workers in Delaware have to go hunting, too. All state property, indoor and outdoor, is turning smoke-free. It's happening from Maine to California as governments and businesses aim to protect non-smokers from secondhand whiffs. And there's shrinking opposition. The CDC says only 19% of U.S. adults smoke. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Last year, Lady Gaga. This year, the high-kicking Rockettes will join New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg for the Times Square crystal ball drop on New Year's Eve. Bloomberg, who shared a kiss with Lady Gaga after the 2012 countdown, says he'll have to figure out how to kiss all the Rockettes. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Share in the spirit of the season with the Starbucks card, a simple, thoughtful gift to celebrate being together for the holidays. And better yet, your loved ones can register for My Starbucks Rewards to earn free drinks and food. It's a gift that gives the whole year round. Starbucks.
How did we get here? Dad's in the hospital again. Mom is so confused. Where am I going to find help? Do I put them in long-term care? What about rehab? The hospital called and I've got to make a decision.
These questions are part of the stress someone feels when they're caring for someone they love that's getting older. If the stress of caring for your own family and for your elderly loved one is becoming too much, Ivy Woods Manor in North Lima is a guardian elder care facility that provides a secure environment and expert care. Each member of our community is treated with compassion and understanding. We offer skilled nursing and advanced specialty short-term rehabilitation, as well as memory care and...